Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
One Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Entering last night, the Seahawks were 0-172 in games, trailing by 15 points or more in the fourth quarter. Seattle is now 1-172 after their 38-37 win over the LA Rams last night. Seahawks trailed 30-14 entering the fourth. A punt return touchdown, a strange two-point conversion overturn, and a missed LA field goal sent the game into overtime at 30. Sam Darnold connected with Jackson Smith and Jigba for a touchdown, and another two-point conversion try was good to send Seattle to the top of the NFC. Week 16 in the NFL continues tomorrow with the Commanders hosting the Eagles and the Bears hosting the Packers. In the NHL last night, the third period woes for the Jackets continued. Minnesota scored three times in the final 20 minutes to beat the CBJ 5-2 at Nationwide. Columbus is at Anaheim on Saturday. This update is sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Get a holiday loan and choose loan amounts from $1,000 to $5,000. Visit BMIFCU.org/holiday loan for details.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Tom Barry here.
Well, Reese came in and he's handed me papers.
Yeah.
And then, he said, "You see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me." Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging. And only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do it live on a sort of football Friday edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next three. Bake and Reese here, as we would only have it that way. We are loaded up. Bill Bender joining us at 9:45. 10 o'clock, we will do a regular season Buckeye Blitz Put It to Bed edition. Our offensive players of the year, defensive players of the year, coaches who earned their courtesy cars, and so forth and so on. 10:30, Tim May is going to join. 11 o'clock, what we learned this week. And 11:30, Doug Lamerice. Do you remember where you were a year ago, kids? Remember where you were a year ago? And you think about this football Friday that we had and the Bells played, and all we heard all week was of a volunteer army that was invading, and that a broken football program was what was going to be here to greet them. And quite honestly, I remember doing this show a year ago vividly, and I remember us saying, I really don't know what we're going to get. I really wasn't sure. I don't think anybody was. I don't think anybody in a Buckeye Nation, not a fan, not a media member, I don't think anyone was sure what would come the following Saturday. You didn't know, because the last time you saw them was the craziest result you've ever seen, in finishing with plague flanning and all of the nonsense that followed that game. But you didn't know. You heard whispers. Sure. Yeah, you heard whispers. Whispers of players only meeting and everyone rowing in the same direction and unleash hell on an entire college football world. But you couldn't believe it. You couldn't believe it because you hadn't seen it. And then as you creeped into game day on Saturday and you had to listen to the insults about how there's volunteers everywhere, never mind the fact that it was felt like about minus 20 degrees below zero and the game wasn't until 8 o'clock, and who's going to stand out there all morning for a game that doesn't play until later in the evening. Never mind any of that, but that's what you heard all day. And then you get to the pregame and you get into game day and you hear, well, I've never seen Ohio Stadium have this much orange in it, and all of the things that you had to suffer. But none of us really knew. You can suffer the slings and arrows all day on a Friday, all week long, as you did on a Saturday morning, but you really didn't know. And anybody who says that they did is lying to you. Maybe that team know, maybe that team believed, but even they probably had to see it executed out on the field. And boy, did they. Boy, did they. 21-0 at the end of the first. Can I interest you in that? 42-17 in the first, on a step towards football immortality that included one of the most arduous well, not one of, the most arduous stretch of games to win a national championship in the history of the sport. And they did it. And they buried them all. And they'll attempt to do it again in a couple of weeks. But as we sit here on a Friday in the middle of December, in the middle of playoff games that are going to take place tonight, you're going to find out your opponent by the early afternoon tomorrow. You sit here and you wait. And it's a tough game to play. I'll tell you, I preferred it last year with the nervous energy of it, not knowing what to see. But to play a game 2 weeks ago and not play again for two more weeks while all of this stuff is happening around the sport, whether it's portal and recruiting and all of it, it's a weird spot. It's a very weird spot. And it's weird to be back kind of in what feels like an old bowl schedule. Now you're going to have two more games after you play the bowl, but nevertheless, that's kind of where we're at. And I just got to tell you, I preferred it, not to say that I want to play an extra game on the route to a championship, but let's just get on with it a little bit. This idea of sitting here waiting, I don't prefer it. I prefer last year where we have a game this weekend.
And especially a game at home base, like the Ohio Stadium game in December. And if it was, today, tomorrow, you're looking at 40s. So nowhere near as cold as it was this time last year, or at least for tomorrow's purposes. But I would have liked, and I know the coaching staff is going to hate to hear this because they like having the time off. Obviously, you're banged up through the latter part of the season, and this is that time to get right. But to give the fans another playoff experience, because I didn't think I'd like it as much with the first round of the expanded college football playoff. It'll be 12, it'll be 16 next time we do this. But to have those home sites. Mm-hmm. And the games weren't the greatest. They were blowouts, but there was so much fun to give college football fans that. Because once you get with Ohio State and you get to the quarterfinals, they're just sterile environments. Nothing in sport, in my opinion, beats a big stakes home college football game.
No.
Or away college football game when you're the Buckeyes and you're going to Ann Arbor. Or when you're the Buckeyes and you're going out, you have to go to Eugene for a game. Mm-hmm. Or if Tennessee comes up to Ohio Stadium and you get everything with that you love so much about the sport. And waiting on it kind of stinks, but Ohio State, obviously, I think would have rather taken the bye than have to play this weekend, because you did get to play in the Big Ten Championship. So I think Austin said this yesterday or sometime this week when he was on it. Austin Ward's everywhere. But it was, I think, 25 days, and then last year it was 23 days. So not a terrible stretch of time between games actually played.
Yeah,
the first time this weekend, I feel like is going to be that SpongeBob meme where him and Patrick are running around and Squidward's just kind of watching and wishing and hoping and then waiting.
It's funny you mentioned the amount of days when I'd have to look this up. But when Ohio State played LSU in the Sugar Bowl for the national title, I want to say the game was played something like January 9th or 10th.
I think that was the eternity one.
That was like six, because so it was like the ninth. It was somewhere in there, because we were in New Orleans for like 14 days covering it. The Ohio, there was no Big Ten championship game in those days, and the Ohio State Michigan game was before Thanksgiving, if memory serves. So you played third week in November and didn't play again until the second weekend in January. You imagine that?
Now that's an eternity.
That's all day, man. Good Lord. Third of the year between games.
As you were talking about that, Bo, I was thinking the same thing that Reese just brought up, that I didn't think the time was that much different, because last year you didn't play in the Big Ten championship game, so you had that week where you were sitting out, too. I think it just goes to, as we've talked about with everything with college football and the calendar just being broken, they should be in the midst of this right now. It shouldn't be starting tonight. This should be the second round, and you should be off and running, and let's go. And then you could have, what is it now? The quarterfinals are in bowl games. You should have the semifinals in those bowl games. You could have home sites for these first two rounds, and then semifinals. Let's go to bowl games and play this thing out. It's just one of those things, and I heard you talking with T-Bone and Tyvus, and as crazy as it is and as broken as it is, and as there's many things we complain about with it, it's never been more popular.
No. And that's why, and what I said with those guys was, it's shameful that Texas A&M is being played at 11 o'clock. I mean, can you imagine how pissed off we'd be around here? Where it's bad enough you got to deal with noon, but if you had a home playoff game at Ohio Stadium and you're playing at 11 o'clock in the morning, is the kick?
And
like, what are we doing?
And did I hear that they're doing this to keep that one away from the NFL games?
So that's what it's all parts of it are all true. Like, you're putting your best games on Friday night and Saturday morning to stay away from the NFL. That's part of it, because ESPN gets the picks. The other part of it, though, is ESPN has the rights to the playoff. They farmed it out to TNT because they have contractual obligations to show other things in those windows. So whether that's a 1AA championship or whether that's college basketball or whatever it is, they have contracts. They would still rather run Oregon against James Madison than they would rather run whatever they're going to run Saturday night. Like, if it's college basketball or whatever, it's just they have contracts that prevent them from doing that. But I think at some point you just have to not fear the NFL. Like, if they're not going to play ball with you and give you these Saturdays, then just do what's right by your sport. And the audience will be there. There's still going to be a big audience for Texas A&M, and you're not going to beat the NFL, but that can't be what the job is. That can't be what the job is. The job should be what's best for your sport. And yeah, we will get to a point where there's a 16-team playoff. I hope there's common sense in the sense of last week would have been the first round at home sites. This week would have been the quarterfinals at home sites, higher seed home sites. 2 weeks off, semifinals on New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. The following Saturday, once removed, there's your national championship. Bingo, bongo, away you go. The portal opens up after that. That's the way you solve it. It's a pretty easy fix. I went to bed before the chaos that ensued in Seattle last night. And if you would have told me that that result was going to happen, I would have said you're nuts. Because the LA Rams dominated that game in every possible way. It was as stupefying as a result as I've ever woken up to. The opposite can be said of the Blue Jackets, because, of course, they gave up goals in the third, and that's who they are at this point. We'll get to all of that coming up next. We're off and running, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
We used to have a billboard with our host's face on it, but only ugly people work here now.
You mama say you ugly, hey!
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The best words to hear at the TSA security checkpoint? You're good to go. All it takes is a little preparation. Get to the airport early. Bring a carry-on bag that fits in the overhead. And have an acceptable ID. Not all state-issued IDs will cut it. Check out tsa.gov/ID and see which TSA acceptable IDs make the grade, like a real ID or passport.
Before you jet, do a little prep, and you're good to go. Check out tsa.gov/ID or the MyTSA app.
What's the best way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows?
Oh, no.
Download the Fan app, silly.
Ah, damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. You can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We are looking at some much colder conditions here for today, as highs are only in the 20s here this afternoon. Winds will be fairly strong out of the northwest at 15 to 30 miles per hour, and that's going to make it feel like it's down in the single digits and teens here for your Friday. But we are looking ahead to some warmer temperatures here for tomorrow. Highs are back in the mid-40s, and that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
Are you working? Because we barely are. It's Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football and quiet quitting. The Fan. Pull up a stool and ask the bartender for something neat. Because Uncle Bo is on the radio. This is Bishop and Friends.
So, I watched... it's fantasy semifinals. So I'm in the thick of it. I have Jackson Smith and Jigba. I was playing Matt Stafford. I have Myers, too, the Seahawks kicker, who got me 22 points last week. And so I had both these guys, and needless to say, it was not going well. Jackson Smith and Jigba had one target at half of this game. But the bigger picture, because nobody cares about your fantasy team, is the Los Angeles Rams dominated this game in every single way possible. And when I went to bed at the end of the third quarter, I said, well, there's nothing else to see here. They're going up and down the field whenever they want, and there's no possibility for them to lose this game. And also, you're probably going to lose your fantasy, because it appears that Matthew Stafford can complete anything he wants whenever he wants to do it. That last part remained true. He ended up 457 and three touchdowns, threw a no-look pass near in the end zone. I mean, probably sewed up the MVP with all of that based on the way that he played yesterday, and probably rightfully so. As improbable a victory as we've seen. We've never seen a two-point conversion. I've never seen that with a backward pass that bounces off a defender into the end zone for a touchdown and a two-pointer. I've never seen anything like that. And so here's this Seattle team. And Reese, you had this in the update. Seattle was 0-172 in games, trailing by 15 plus going into the in the third, and then they went ahead and won it. So it was improbable as can be. The Rams are also this is the one I saw this morning. I'm glad you put this in here. The Rams are the first team in NFL history to lose with 500 yards of offense, zero turnovers, and three plus opponent turnovers. And somehow, Reese, we both got it right, because wasn't it Seattle plus or minus 1.5?
Yeah, we picked the Rams. The bet slip cashes.
That's just
hooray for
that's
us!
Utter nonsense to get that right. Good Lord,
that was entertaining for me, because I can understand if Rams fan waking up this morning and going, "The hell,
right?
The hell, zebras!" Like
Puka Nacua thought that as well.
He doubled down on it after the game. He's a great football player. He had like 225 yards and two touchdowns last night. He's an incredible football player. He's a very big, dumb online idiot.
Yeah, I don't know the full background of all of it. So he goes on social media and does dumb things. I will say, if you're looking for...
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It's
not different than my kid then. So basically he, from what I could tell, probably... Oh, this is what I was going to say. Probably the most professional dealing with live questioning about on a podium after a loss... about things you don't know. Did you see this clip of Sean McVay when they were trying to pepper him about Nacua?
I saw it about 10, 15 minutes before the show.
Yeah, that's when I saw it too. So Sean McVay is, they're peppering him about Nacua in the tweets, and he's like, hey, listen, I can't comment on something I don't know about. It's happening in real time. I'll circle back. Like, he handled that the way you handle it is in, like, it's like a PR masterclass on how to handle dealing with chaos that you don't know anything about. I always used to say this. If I'm out of my depth on something, I'll stop, get my sea legs, and then come back. Especially something sensitive when it comes to, you know, allegations and those type of things. Never throw anything against the wall, right? Ever. So I thought that was a masterclass by him.
So it was a heck of a week for the Nacua brothers, because his brother, I believe it's Samson, the one who played for the Michigan Panthers and got in trouble for hitting the fan earlier this year, was charged with stealing one of the Lakers players' trucks. What? This week, him and somebody else took, Adieu Theros truck somehow? I don't even know. And they valeted at a hotel.
They took it without his consent.
And then they found him. So it's been a heck
good
of a week,
Lord,
for that family. So I was at the Jackets game last night. I get home, and about the time I get home, my buddy texts me, and he says, I bet you hate these Seahawks helmets, don't you? And I had forgot the game was even on, so I flipped over just to see. And about the time I flipped over, the Rams scored to go up 30-14. Now, I was going to bed anyway, because I had to come in early today to do some ONN updates.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, I'm glad this isn't close, so it couldn't lure me in at all. Sure. And then I get in here this morning and see that Seattle won, and I'm like, how the hell did that happen?
Crazy. Well, it's never happened before. So we were all on the right side of it. One thing that happens with great frequency is the Blue Jackets playing poorly in the third period. Two empty netters for the Wild. This was a home stretch that everybody had circled. Zach's incredible. Two goals, playing out of his mind right now. I'll do it by myself is kind of the feeling of it. Results are results. And so this is another one where in the third period, they can't find a way to get a win. Now, Minnesota's really good. It's known. The Jackets, though, now, guys, as we're talking about, and you were there, Bake, you're talking about this far into a season, this is who you are. And I don't know if you can switch who you are this far in.
It's going to be interesting to see. I think Zach post game last night, and we have the quote.
Go ahead, play.
Let's play that.
I feel like it's the same thing we've been saying. Like, we're playing well enough to win, but it's getting old that we keep losing. I mean, enough is enough. It's unacceptable, and I get the whole thing where, like, you got to stay positive and move forward, and I agree with all that, but at the end of the day, like, this is getting outrageous. I mean, we're a good hockey team, and we're just losing games. So maybe we're not a good hockey team. I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, you have to win games to be a good team, and, yeah, it's frustrating. I mean, definitely a good hockey team over there, but I don't think they're better than us. They win, and that's what it comes down to.
He sounds like me.
He's a man of few words. So yeah. When Zach says something, it's usually intentional, and he's thought it out. If you remember when Line A made his comments and then he came back, Zach was waiting after that game to talk to the media and get his point across. Like, it was like, hey, he wants to say something. Ask him one more. And so I feel like this was just another step in Zach Werenski's leadership. Obviously, we've seen it on the ice here. He is just another level right now. I think it helped last night that Quinn Hughes was on the ice, too, and he's won a Norris Trophy recently. And Zach wanted to say, hey, I'm as good or better than these guys.
Yep.
But this is a this is kind of an evolution of Zach into this leadership role that he really jumped into last year when Boone was out, and it's going to be interesting to see how this team responds to his words last night.
Can they?
I think they can.
They have it in them. I mean, like, let's take the little kid gloves off for a second. You're 34 games into an 82-game season, 34 in. You're damn near there for halfway. You have the worst goal differential in the East, and you're a point-a-game team. So there's not a lot of... I'm with him. I get sick of hearing about they're doing things the right way. They got to just keep doing it. Well, no, you got to win at some point. I mean, I've been saying that for 2 weeks. Like, we can talk about, oh, they're playing the right way. They're doing this. Yeah, but you're not getting results. And this is a results business. Sports are binary. So point of game ain't going to do it.
No, it's not. And that's been proven in the NHL. I do think we talked about this the other day. Hockey, it happens. You have upswings, you have downswings. I think there's going to be a point here in the not too distant future where they reel off 5 or 6 wins.
They need to.
In a row. They get 10 out of 13 like they've lost right now, 10 out of 13. So I think that will happen and they'll be right there. I think we got to remember, though, this team last year is really not different than this year from the one from last year. And what was last year's team? You were banking on these guys to take another step, and I think you're seeing it a little bit from some of them, but some of them regressed. And will Kent Johnson snap out of it? I don't know. We've started to see some life from Igor Chinnikov. It's going to be very interesting.
All right, Reese, I want to ask you this. Your alma mater's been through it.
You want to coach OU football? Anybody? Bueller?
I got a great wristband system I use with third graders that I think they would thrive with. Let me ask you this. And you, when we talked about this yesterday with Brian Smith, you talked about some of the rumors that were out there. Why didn't they just make this public? Why didn't they just make this public 2 weeks ago?
It's a good question.
That's the only thing I don't understand.
And you can see the date on the termination letter. You can see the date on Brian Smith's response to the termination letter. And then you look and you go, well, that's 10, 11 days after they removed it from campus. The way in which this was handled is not great. It looks bad for everybody involved. Certainly when we had Brian Smith on back in September and he espoused, you know, family values, his behavior outlined in the termination letter, certainly in that.
No.
And so he obviously, the administration did not feel that he represented Ohio University in the best light. And when you throw him off campus on December 1st, that's when you should present him with everything. Yes. Having it wait as long as they did, having it go past National Signing Day, because I was critical on Michigan for doing it the way they did with National Signing Day. OU's in the same boat. You've got to be open and transparent to an exponential degree these days because everything will get out there, and you have to know that, which also makes his lawyer's statements kind of wild.
Yeah, and the other thing about it that's crazy to me is you lost like 2 days of people saying you're just firing a guy for having a drink. Like I said that.
Yeah.
You're just firing a guy for having a drink and celebrating a win? Oh, no, no. No, no, no. We're alleging far more serious things, right? But you lost like a full day of PR just by not... just this is my rule of thumb for everybody in this business. When you got, just put it all out there. Give everybody the real truth, or the real truth as you understand it, and then respond to the reaction to that. To slowly bleed it out is never going to be a win. It's never going to be a win. So in the end, what came to light yesterday was that the Ohio for-cause, the firing of head football coach Brian Seff, stems from a romantic relationship he had with an undergraduate student on campus, an allegation that he was intoxicated during a public appearance, according to documents obtained Thursday through a public records request. Now, he's said absolutely not.
They're fighting it.
He's going to fight it. From the looks of this report, they have witness upon witness of all of this.
How could that be damning to the university? I mean, I don't understand. I just how?
Jeez. Third coach in as many years. So
yeah. You'd look, well, the new athletic director too, right, Reese?
Athletic director as of September. And I've said this. I truly do think he did what he thought was in the best interest of the university and the athletic program. I just wish more transparency had been involved from the get-go of this.
Yeah. All right, we have college football playoff games tonight. Bama at Oklahoma. Tomorrow we'll find out who the Buckeyes are going to play down in the Cotton Bowl as Miami takes on A&M. We'll get you set in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
What's up?
Sup, man?
Sup, Jew?
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, here's what's up. Yeah, it's a football Friday. We got college football games that matter. They in a big way. Not in a little way like the bowls, but in a big way. It starts tonight with Alabama at Oklahoma. The Sooners have beaten the Crimson Tide the last two times they've played them. Kept them out of the postseason last year. From the eyes of some, should have kept them out of the postseason this year. The Saturday slate starts with a banger. It is Miami at Texas A&M. Criminally at noon. 3:30 will be Tulane at Ole Miss in a game that has already happened once this year. Ole Miss won that game quite bigly, but obviously a lot has changed from Ole Miss from that game to what they are now. And then the nightcap is James Madison at Oregon. The latter two games are on TNT and HBO Max, also True TV as well. The game tonight and the game tomorrow at noon are on ABC and ESPN. Do you have a rooting interest in any of these? Go ahead, Bake. Do you have a point?
I was just going to say, you said criminally in Miami, and I thought, wait a second, are we going back to the Catholics versus convicts era here? But
Who do you have rooting interest in the two games that are really interesting?
I mean, it's certainly Catholics versus cultists. If we're going Miami A&M, no.
Gig 'em, Aggies. Come on, gig 'em.
Boy.
Yeah.
I mean, I get the appeal. Cults have an appeal, so.
Their stadium's awesome. They get the crowd's awesome, but it's a strange operation for sure.
I do not have a rooting interest in any of this unless there's some soft-earned dollars placed on any of these games later today. But no, I do not have a rooting interest. I think what we want is just good games, and I have a feeling there's two we're not going to get good games in.
No. You're going to get good game. I think you'll get a good game tonight. I think you'll get a good game tomorrow. I think the one tonight nationally is going to have the most interest because of everything around DeBoer. In the college football world, there is an assumption that by some, that there's still a chance that he'll end up at Michigan, that people really believe that. And potentially if Bama were to lose to Oklahoma again, that he would turn hightail and run and head to Ann Arbor. I don't see it for all of the reasons we've talked about all week long. But certainly, if you are the head coach at Alabama, you can't lose to Oklahoma three straight times. Here is Kalen DeBoer on the matchup tonight.
I mean, I just know that across the board, the intensity is just so much fun to be a part of. You know, the playoff environment and the support, whether it's your team inside, the support outside, this is what you work for. You work to get to this moment to where you got a chance to reach your goals. And, you know, every day you're giving everything you can to give yourself the best chance to be successful. And so, well, you just got to make sure we stick to our process and, you know, you're done with finals and guys are graduation and all that's taken care of. And so, you know, you're just really focused on football. And so that's been really good for our guys to be able to lock in that way. But you know, if you're not giving everything you got now, you know, really don't belong here, because that's the expectation anytime. And it certainly would be the expectation at this point in the playoff season.
I'm always impressed when they remember to bring up the finals thing.
It's a good job out of him, because you've got Texas A&M over here announcing a contract extension for the highest paid wide receiver in A&M history. So
did that come from?
I love how we're doing this.
Did this come from the A&M team site? Like from their official account? I saw that this morning as well. Did that come from A&M or did that come from?
Their collective.
Their collective.
Yeah. So they put it out there, but it's got A&M logo all over it, and we know how litigious these schools are when you use their logo in a way they're not thrilled with.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I was talking about that with Brother Bone and Nephew Tyvus this morning. I do not understand what they're signing.
Contract.
I don't get it. But they can't. Because it's... They can't. So I don't understand that. None of this is binding. Like, what are we talking about? So strange. But anyway, he worked it in there. For Venables, Bake, you and I were on Oklahoma earlier this season, and a lot of that had to do with the belief that I had, and I think you did as well. Defensively, you knew they're going to be pretty good, but it was Johnny Mateer. Really liked him at Washington State. He came on like a house of fire in September, was a Heisman leader, the favorite for the Heisman at the end of September, and then he got hurt. And then, in my opinion, they rushed him back for the Texas game, and they haven't been the same offensively since. So this will be a battle of Alabama's offense and what can Ty Simpson get going versus an Oklahoma defense. And then can the Bama defense match what Mateer does offensively? I can't imagine the type of distraction that is at Alabama. I mean, around DeBoer for sure. All sorts of innuendo and rumors out there on Ryan Williams looking for another landing spot, potentially could be here. There's a lot going on behind the scenes on these campuses with free transfer and all of this stuff that's going on, but especially at Alabama. I think he's got a real uphill road to get that team all. If he can get them all rowing in the same direction tonight, that's a hell of a job of coaching, because there are distractions everywhere down in Tuscaloosa.
It's going to be tough, especially against a team that there's some kind of matchup issue here, because you've lost two in a row to them. Mm-hmm. And Alabama hasn't lost three in a row to a team since the Tommy Tuberville Auburn teams. I want to say it was back like 04, 05. It might have been a little sooner than that, but wow. It was Tuberville and Auburn. So that's something that does not happen a lot, is three losses in a row to one team for Alabama. And you mentioned there's all kinds of smoke around their head coach and some of their players. What's going to happen here? I don't know if Alabama has enough offensive firepower right now to go against this Oklahoma defense, though, because the one thing we know is this Oklahoma defense has been really good regardless of what John Mateer and the offense have done.
Yeah, that's a fact. The other one is much more fascinating. Pressure for different reasons on both. From Miami's standpoint, they get in, right? They got in. This is why they hired Mario Cristobal. They have spent a ton of money to put together this type of roster that could go. This is a heavyweight fight on the two lines of scrimmage. Both these defensive lines are absolutely legit and will cause problems for the Buckeyes by the time you get to that Cotton Bowl. For Mike Elko at Texas A&M, they have never been in a spot like this. I mean, it's just don't. I mean, they're going to play a game at Kyle Field, unfortunately, at 11 a.m. that's going to have as much juice as anything that they've ever had. And then, potentially, should they win, they're going to get the Buckeyes in the Cotton Bowl, which is a game that they've never played in, with the idea to continue to keep moving on. He's done a remarkable job there. Here is Mike Elko on the challenge of Miami.
Yeah, we got to see Miami early because we played Notre Dame right after them. And so we got a real strong glimpse of that group early in the season. And they're every bit as good as I remember them being, you know, two really talented edge kids, a lot of big and long athletic kids in the inside. And so it's a challenge for sure. You know, when you get to this time of year, though, you know, you're going to play a lot of really good teams. And this is certainly no different. And so that'll certainly be where the battle's fought for sure. Hopefully we come out on the right end.
Which game do you want to see more, A&M or Miami in the Cotton Bowl, Reese?
Only because of the history with Miami, it's the Hurricanes. I found myself flip-flopping on it actually this week, because I can't remember the last time Ohio State's played Texas A&M.
They played them in a Sugar Bowl in the 90s.
That was probably it.
like 97, 98, somewhere in there.
Nothing would entertain me more than kicking Miami back down when they think they're back. Like when the U thinks, like, could this be the year the U's back? Here's big bad Ohio State again, knocking them back into college football irrelevancy. But the, I think the chance to beat Texas A&M in Texas would be really, really fun, because I do think that cult would travel to Dallas. Yes. Ohio State fans will too. It'd be a great clash of colors, styles, cultures, fan bases.
Dude, if you're a fan of atmosphere, Ohio State A&M in the Cotton Bowl
Dallas
is an electric atmosphere. Miami, Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl, a little less so. Texas A&M would have that. Which game do you want to see, Vic?
I want to see Miami just because I love beating the U. There's nothing better than beating the U.
Yeah. I tell you what, let's do a, I think we can pick, let's pick these four against the number, and we can do the 1AA semifinals as well against the number at 11 o'clock. We'll pick them. Like we normally do at 11. So we'll do what we learned, and then we'll also do a little pay attention to the scores coming up at 11 o'clock. Bill Bender's coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
All the 10 TV people come over to our side of the building to take a deuce. That should tell you something about how we operate. The Fan.
Shopping.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah. They've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Means no lunch for millions of kids in the summer. Let's come together, food banks, families, and generous individuals like you to make sure no child goes without food in the summer. Together, we can make a difference. Learn more at feedingamerica.org/summer.
Love football, love wings. Put those bad boys together and you get Austin and Burn live at Roosters.
Sponsored by Roosters, a fun casual joint.
Large amounts of football and all the donkey sauce you can handle. Mondays on The Fan's YouTube channel.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
A Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Right Way Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Sports conversation that's worthy of a toast. Or at least a stiff drink. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, let's have a little college football fun with our good buddy Bill Bender of the Sporting News. He joins on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We got playoff games tonight. Obviously, the first two carry the most weight. What a wild circumstance we find for Kalen DeBoer, my friend. All of these rumors about Michigan, and before that, that was Penn State, his rumors of his roster being pillaged and guys on his roster seeking to play elsewhere, and all the while you're in Norman tonight. What do you make of the pressure that is on DeBoer and the Crimson Tide tonight in Norman? Do we lose? I think we lost Uncle Bill. We'll effort to get him back. These things happen. It happens from time to time. We'll get him back. It's just, you rarely see, I mean, you just have never seen this because we haven't had all these circumstances in the sport before where you have a 12-team playoff, where you have a portal, where you have these type of jobs open. My God, Penn State and Michigan are both open. Michigan, nobody saw coming. Penn State, obviously, at the beginning of the year, nobody did either. DeBoer was rumored for both of those jobs. People at Penn State truly believed that he was going to be the next head coach there. I think he's the best hire that Michigan can possibly have. I think we got Bill back, of course. Hey, buddy, we got you back now. I don't know if you heard the question. I was asking the question about DeBoer and just all of the rumors swirling around him. Meantime, he's lost two previous games to Oklahoma. What do you make of the pressure that is on him and the Crimson Tide? All right, I think we're having some phone problems, boys. Get the top men in there, Bake.
Working on it, as always.
Reese, where are the top men?
They might be off.
Top men are off?
I don't know what's happening in the building.
Well, I was on with T-Bone and Tyvis, and I said, there's a Kennesaw State game we could have played instead of us. Just roll right into that pregame.
That pregame's probably going on right now on the Owls Radio Network. Kennesaw State and MAC champion Western Michigan playing in Conway, South Carolina at 11.
See, there you go. That's all you need. Run that out there.
You go to the Broncos Radio Network, dip in, see what they're talking about.
Obviously having some phone line issues here, but this game tonight's got a lot of juice to it from the pressure that is on both of the programs involved. Okay, now we have Bill. I can hear him saying hello. Can you hear me, Bill? No. We're broken.
We heard him.
I heard him say hello. Yeah. We got a broken operation, gentlemen. We're like the Titanic. Play the violins.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not there. Or he can't hear me.
Sorry,
one
Bill.
Of the two.
Yeah, it's definitely on our end.
Yeah, well, clearly. Yeah, I mean, because I've heard him say hello three separate times. So we just apologize to Bill, and we'll work it out another time.
All right, let's try it again here. It looked like somebody routed the phone wrong, so let's try it one more time.
I'm here. Hello.
There he is. Bill, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
What a time to be alive. What a time to be alive, my friend. Did you hear any of my questions about Kalen DeBoer?
No, but I can guess. Well, let me ask you then, if Alabama loses 31-17 tonight, is he on a plane to Michigan by next week?
So I don't think he should be, because I think you're going into a mess. I also think that part of this with the Penn State flirtation, which according to people that I know over there and trust was very real, and maybe allowing his name to be involved in this a little bit longer, was if I view it as maybe, is this him saying, you better appreciate me or I'll go somewhere else? Where do you kind of sit on all of his flirtation?
And, you know, I'd heard ahead of the Iron Bowl, but some of the Penn State rumors as well.
Yeah.
And here's the deal that I think goes to the heart of Kalen DeBoer. He probably fits better at Michigan or Penn State, but I don't see him as the type of guy that would just walk away and leave Alabama. I mean, they did make the playoff. They did make the SEC championship game. He did silence some critics, but at the same time, this was a fan base that was trying to fire him after the Florida State game in week one.
They were, and he's got a coach in the same town with Bobby Bowden Nick Saban going to football games. The reason I thought of Bowden is because Bowden left Tallahassee. He moved. I mean, he'd lived there for the whole time he'd been at Florida State, same house. He moved to Birmingham and Panama City, and he stayed out when he left, and Saban's not doing that. He's in his own backyard. So I think that all of that I get is tough, but I think that's nothing in comparison to what you're going to inherit at Michigan. So that's the backdrop of that one. From the Ohio State perspective, I think everybody wants to see, a lot of people it feels like want to see Miami just because of, you know, the symmetry from the first national championship, the national championship Tress one. What chance do you give them going into Kyle Field tomorrow?
Can't turn the ball over. They have to handle the crowd. That's a pretty even game. Mm-hmm. I think between Marcel Reed, he's only taken 10 sacks all season. So Miami will have to get after him a little bit. And then on the other side, Carson Beck only had one interception in their last four games. I'm with most people around here. I would love to watch Miami and Ohio State. I wanted to watch that in September when Miami was one of the better teams in the country because of what they have up front with the Reuben Bain and Francis Malagoa. Mm-hmm. They had four guys on our All-American team. I'd say had a couple more, but you know what I mean? There'd be a lot of NFL talent on the field.
That was really cool to get, and deservedly so. He's been exemplary this year. And I actually thought Sonny's been better the last three or four weeks than Arvell. I thought he was the best player on the field in a couple of those games. And to get him on there, good Pickerington kid, and get him on that was really, really cool. What do you make of Ohio State sitting and waiting and kind of all of these top four seeds who just have to sit here and wait? And certainly remembered what happened a year ago with those games.
Yeah, I mean, they're in the reverse role now where they get to sit out this first round, and that's fine. I'm sure, you know, it's one step closer. They go down to the Cotton Bowl. I asked Bobby earlier this week, you know, if Texas A&M wins, what's the crowd going to look like? And I still think it would be at minimum half Ohio State fans. I'm not as worried about that. I do think the edge of losing a game and the fact that they didn't give up more than 16 points in a game this season really helps. You know, you mentioned Sonny, Arvell, Caleb, Caden, Curry's. all on our All-American team. When you have that many difference makers on defense, it can carry a playoff run. And yes, we were, our choice on Sonny was the back half of the season, he was as good as anybody. It was nothing against Arvell. It's just you're trying to squeeze all of these guys on the All-American team. It's really hard.
Yeah, it is. And he deserves, I mean, like I said, I thought he was the best defensive player at times over the last month that they had. And certainly in the big games, he was unbelievable the way that he played down the stretch. Which we'll talk to you again before as we get into this thing. But just as you see this bracket layout, whose path do you like the most?
I kind of like, well, I don't like Indiana's because I was saying, and Bo, you know the lines too. If Alabama wins, what do you think that line will be? Three?
At most.
Yep. So their path won't be easy. You know, Georgia and Ohio State, because I think Georgia wins a rematch with Ole Miss if that happens. I think Ohio State wins either way against the Cotton Bowl, and then that becomes the game that defines the bracket. I would think that Georgia, Ohio State would be viewed in television viewers, streams, whatever, as the national championship game.
I think that's
because of, most people believe the winner of that game probably wins it all.
Yeah. I really, the team I'm most curious to see how they play is Texas Tech. Just because they've annihilated everybody they played. Their only loss is at Arizona State without Levitt, or they didn't have Baron Morton, rather. And that's it. And they've annihilated everybody. But now, if you're like them against Oregon, that's now we're talking.
Most excited to watch that game, period.
Yep.
Because for Oregon, they're going to win on Saturday. Then you get into this matchup. I was around Jacob Rodriguez's family a little bit during the Nagurski presentation last week, and they're really good people, and he's a really good kid. So, like, I know our linebackers on our All-American team are all quality humans, and that makes you feel better because those guys are violent on the football field. But I really want to see what that Texas Tech defense does against Oregon. Can't wait to see it. And by the way, if the first round goes the way I think it will, if Texas A&M wins, 7 of the 8 teams in the quarterfinals will be from the Big Ten and the SEC.
Yeah. Well, that would make sense. Certainly, our apologies on the phone, buddy. That's all on our end. Our top men were off today, so I apologize for that. But it's always great talking to you, nevertheless.
That's an Indiana Jones reference. Have a Merry Christmas. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. We'll see you. There he goes. Bill Bender of the Sporting News joining us on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We will do the final regular season awards edition of Buckeye Blitz coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on the Fan.
Catch the latest from the world of Ohio State athletics. Weeknights at 6 on the Buckeye Show. New special guests in everything Scarlet and Gray, the Fan.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Didn't people warn me to slow down? I said, I don't know how. Thanks to my VA care team, I haven't.
At VA, we're using technology to help veterans recover faster and live their lives to the fullest. Learn more at vacareers.va.gov/PSA.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
13-year NFL veteran and Super Bowl champion Jason McCourty here, and I'm an innovation ambassador at FAIR, Food Allergy and Research Education. I would say the most challenging thing as a parent of a kid who has a food allergy is probably the ignorance that I myself had in the beginning. I didn't know what anaphylactic shock was. I didn't know the dangers, let alone the things that she needed to be able to have a normal life. When you go to drop your kid off, on every single time in the beginning, we'd have to go through everything she was allergic to. Preparation is everything. And me, for playing football for 13 years, it was all throughout the course of the week. It's getting ready for game day. When you're on the field, you're playing for your fans. At home, you're playing for your family. My playbook, read labels, keep it allergy friendly, and have an epinephrine nasal spray as a backup plan. Because when my family's safe from food allergens, that's the real victory. Visit foodallergy.org to learn more.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Week 16 in the NFL got off to a wild start. The Seahawks erased a 16-point fourth-quarter deficit to beat the Rams 38-37 last night in overtime. First time in history, the Seahawks won a game when trailing by 15 or more in the fourth. Seattle's 12-3 and occupies the top spot in the NFC. Both the Rams and the Seahawks have clinched playoff spots. The college football playoff begins Friday. Alabama's at Oklahoma at 8 o'clock. Winner gets Indiana in the Rose Bowl New Year's Day. Also on the field today, MAC champion Western Michigan plays Kennesaw State in the Myrtle Beach Bowl. It'll be an 11 a.m. kickoff in Conway. In the NHL last night, the Wild beat the Blue Jackets 5-2. CBJ gave up three goals in the third. In college basketball, the Ohio State women's squad won their eighth straight, a 79-45 win over Norfolk State. Buckeyes will host Western Michigan on Monday. This update sponsored by Whiskey War by High Bank Distillery. Drink local. Drink High Bank.
The uncle you never knew you had.
The friends you kind of wish you didn't.
This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour here on a Friday edition of the program. Let's do it one last time and blitz the Buckeyes.
Bishop and Friends present Buckeye Blitz.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers. Visit Toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
All right, final regular season edition. So, of course, we will do this again for the playoff games that come as long as they go. So three more of these we're planning on doing. But in terms of the regular season put it to bed edition, this is it. We do this well. What did we do well this season, Bake?
Play defense to the tune of the number one defense in the country. Scoring defense, rushing defense, passing defense. We did it all. And when you've got 8-0-2 running around back there, it's easy to see. But you saw Caden McDonald develop. You saw Kenyatta Jackson and Caden Curry develop. You saw Davison Igbinosin cut down on the penalties. Mm-hmm. Jermaine Matthews kind of become a star. Devin Sanchez growing, Peyton Pierce growing, some of the younger guys, the next guys. This defense was elite.
Yeah, that's the obvious one. Yep. I do think, as to not piggyback off of that, I'm going to say Ohio State's the most talented team in the country. So Ohio State acquires talent better than anybody.
Yes, they do. Both of those things are true, and both of those kind of get to, I think, the right answer here. But the thing specifically that I want to kind of bore in on a little bit with the defense is the red zone defense. I've never seen any team around here in all my years covering that's better in the red area defensively than this one is. They just turn the faucet off. If you get down there, the faucet gets turned off. It's a field goal. And we're going to trade 7-for-3s all day long. What Matt Patricia did with this defense, and this goes to Reese's point on acquiring talent and Bake's point on in terms of all putting that talent in the best position to succeed, it was a masterclass this season. Won't beat Georgia. I assume that's who they're going to play in the national semifinal if they continue to do what, Bake?
It's the thing we've talked about all year, and I'm going to call it red zone play calling. I think we just got to do better. Don't get gimmicky. Don't overthink it. Leave 4. Leave 17 on the field. Leave 25 on the field. When it gets hardest on the field, you need your best players. Leave them in there and just continue to play ball.
Another thing I don't want to piggyback because I had written down forget 4-17 in the red zone. won't beat anybody, really, if we don't not take the points. At this point, I don't think you're going to be outscoring teams by the margins you were in the regular season. So this will be situations where if you have a chance to take some points, just take the points.
I think it's a really good point out of you, Reese, because the other part of that of just take the points is the way that they play. Because they don't play with tempo, because there aren't enough possessions, you can't go empty-handed in the red zone. If you're going to have 60, 70 plays and you're going to play tempo, fine. Then you can go for it all the time and try to get sevens over threes. But man, when you don't have that many possessions, you can't have them come up empty. I think both of those things combined, again, are kind of where we're at, and I think we're all kind of on the same page with this. You've got to be better in short yardage. Like the 4th-and-1 stuff, they have a month to figure out something that works there, and they need to get that sorted out. It's kind of the only Achilles heel that this team has, in my view. It's just short yardage. It's red zone. We've called it the short red zone all year, and that continues to be a problem. for this team. I'd like to see more. What would you like to see more of, Bake?
I'd like to see more of, as Reese puts it, da bomb. I'd like to see him open it up. I'd like to see him go fast, pedal to the metal. I want to see this offense run like the Ferrari it was built to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll zero in on it a little bit more. I want to see less huddle, or I want to see more less huddling. To do another double negative, let's up the tempo here. I think now you're not playing to extend the season. Now you're playing every game to extend your season, but you're not looking at an extended season. You're looking at a one-game do or die.
Yeah, I think at this point, every game, what I'd like to see more of is this team be what it was built to be. And you're going to be playing in domes from here on out. Unless you get to, well, national championships, Miami. So, climate controlled or as close as can be. Take full advantage of that. And we've talked all year about the football Ferrari. Get it on the Autobahn and let it go. Coach who earned his courtesy car this year. Who do you got, Bick?
I feel like going first, this is too easy. It's Matt Patricia. What he came in here and did with this defense and those players in 1 year was just remarkable.
It's the obvious one. It's Matt Patricia, the job he's done. I'm going to give it to, well, now that I think about it, because I don't want to piggyback off of one I think you might do, Tyler Bowen. I think did an exceptional job with the offensive line having to cobble it together. And I think if you listen to, again, the person that's everywhere is Austin Ward. When he was on Monday, he alluded to there being some significant injuries on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. And despite those injuries, they bullied Michigan. Now, you want to have that Indiana game back, obviously. But I think if you're able to get right health-wise, you can have a better showing in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, I think Fessler did an incredible job with Sayin too, and I think that speaks to itself. Yeah. I think Lachlan was great with the running backs. I know how hard threes fought for Sonny and Arvell, and those were kind of two positionalist players. He viewed them as linebackers. He coached them up like crazy, and now they're both first-team All-Americans. James Laurinaitis in short order has, on the defense, at that position, done what Brian Hartline did at receiver. I mean, that's basically what he's done in that short of time. And just an incredible job, obviously, Patricia as well. So, I mean, there's a lot to go around with this, with coaches who earned their courtesy cards, but certainly threes earned his. Game Ball's offense. Who gets your offensive game ball, Bake?
I'm going to give it to Jeremiah Smith, even though I know the numbers weren't maybe as good as they were last year for him, and he missed a couple games, or was a little banged up down the stretch there. I just think what he did for this offense, sometimes three and four and five guys, watching him helped open things up for everyone else, especially Carnell Tate. And he truly is the best football player in America.
I'm going to give it to Bo Jackson. He was a revelation this year. I think people knew that there was going to be at one point him being Ohio State's bell cow. I didn't think it would happen this quickly.
33-23, 78% completions, 31 touchdowns, 6 picks. Whatever your wildest, and by the way, Heisman finalist, whatever your wildest expectations for what Julian Sayin would be, he exceeded them by far. By far. I mean, you think about the numbers we set out at the beginning of the year for him. Every conversation I had about this team preseason was, well, can they win back-to-back? And I said, I got to see 10 play. Now, I think he's special, but I got to see him play in games. And from Jump Street, I knew that you'd be just fine with that kid at quarterback. Defensive game ball this season, who do you get, Bick?
I don't know if anybody knows this or not, but Arvell Reese is number 8.
Yes, he is.
And maybe that was the thing at the beginning of the year. Like, oh, this guy's 8, he's switching numbers, you need to watch. I'm pretty sure everybody knows Arvell is number 8 this year. Yeah. I don't know. The only player that's had a rise like this in 1 year was Malik Hooker. Yep. It's the only thing you can compare it to with what Arvell Reese did this year. And you could kind of see it last year as he got more and more opportunities to play. That dude might be the first pick in the NFL draft, and I don't think anybody would be reaching taking him there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's number 8. The position he goes in the draft is going to be a smaller or a lesser number than 8. Similarly, Caleb Downs. He finished the top 10 in Heisman voting. He will also go probably in the top 5 of the draft this upcoming season. And watching every single game, he's the ultimate field general. and a missile when it comes to tackling. Like, that's who I think you key on in that quarterfinal against whomever, and you just send Caleb.
Yeah, those are, I mean, look, there's the two Cadens are unbelievable. I'm going to go Sonny here because of how he played down the stretch, and I thought it was so justified that he got first-team All-American by the Sporting News. He was unbelievable in the Michigan game. He was unbelievable in the Indiana game. Just a total stud, local kid, did everything right. Those three are really the operation, that triumvant of talent. Big Ten threat level, who in the league impressed you the most this season, Bake?
I mean, it's got to be your guys' team, Coach Sig.
Sucking down those six.
Kurt Cignetti. I mean, they're the Big Ten champion. They're undefeated. Yep. They're ranked number one in the country. It's got to be Indiana.
And that Boy Scout, Fernando Mendoza. Oregon was fun at times, but now it's Indiana.
Yeah, I think it is. I think that's the right answer. I do think USC, with a really nice recruiting class coming in, built some momentum this year, so I thought that was good. And I thought Iowa had a really nice year as well. I think those teams kind of stand out. Illinois obviously was disappointing. Washington ended up being disappointing as well, and they just could not win on the road. It was a very strange thing for them. Nationally, you have our attention now. Who nationally has had your attention this season?
Again, it's your boy, Coach Sig. The Indiana Hoosiers, 2 years in a row.
Crazy.
Can they make it three next year?
Good Lord. Can sanity return, please?
I've never watched more Texas Tech football.
Yeah.
They're just like Indiana. Like, I know you look at the logo and you go, well, that's a cute football team. You know, they've had some fun times with Michael Crabtrees and Patrick Mahomes being there. That's great. But, no, they're a legit national championship contender.
Yeah, I actually went Texas A&M and Texas Tech from the standpoint of I don't think either of those are going anywhere. In an era where money talks most, they're always going to have it. And I think that they have now elevated to the point of that get used to seeing Texas Tech and Texas A&M on the national stage because oil money is a lot. Can this team win it all, Great Bake? Can the Buckeyes win it all?
You're daggone right they can, and I believe they will.
Yeah, it's an absolute A.
Yeah. Not much has changed, right? If you go all the way back to Texas week and the Buckeye Blitz we did following that, we said, look, best team in the country right now, highest ceiling in the country. What I'm curious about is over the next 3 weeks, does this team hit its ceiling and have what last year's team did, a magical run? Because I do think the ceiling is going to be necessary. If you beat, let's just say, Texas A&M, Georgia, Oregon, Texas Tech, Indiana, you're going to need your big boy lunch pail the entire way, and you're going to need your best. And my guess is my hunch is you're going to see the best from the Buckeyes over the course of the next month of the season. Now, already some portaling happening, including here. We will get to the news on that coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
A lot of hosts have been on our airways in the past 30 years. Some good, some bad, some really bad. Anyway, sorry for that.
The Fan. It's the year-end sale.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
I told people I was the luckiest guy in the world. I wanted to be an army man or a fireman, and I got to do both. As a firefighter, my job was about saving lives. I never thought one day I would be fighting for mine.
After spending his career answering the call to save others, Ken was diagnosed with ALS. Now he's facing his biggest battle, for more time. For 70 years, Muscular Dystrophy Association has been answering the call to help people live longer and more independent lives.
MDA means to me hope.
MDA is leading the way for people living with ALS, muscular dystrophy, and other neuromuscular diseases by accelerating research, advancing care, and advocating to empower families like Ken's.
I wouldn't be living as good of a life with ALS if it wasn't for MDA. MDA is helping people live stronger and love longer. Learn more at MDA.org today.
It's Monday Night Football on The Fan 2. Catch the 49ers and Colts live from Indy.
Fan coverage starts Monday at 8 on 1460 AM and The Fan's HD2.
Sponsored by Roosters, a fun casual joint.
Your radio home of the NFL, The Fan.
Hello. Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We are tracking some very cold conditions here for today as highs are only in the 20s, but it will feel even colder. Winds out in the northwest at 15 to 30 miles per hour, making it feel like it's down to single digits and teens here for your Friday. And then as we head into tonight, we're tracking partly cloudy skies, lows down in the upper teens to lower 20s here for your Saturday morning. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
It's Friday, and there's football. I shall call it Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for all things football. The Fan. First Friday miracles are always better with Uncle Bo. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is, and we are proudly sponsored by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for over 78 years. Still time, kids. I'm stopping by tomorrow out at Easton. Got a little pickup for the Blondie. Don't worry. The kids are off today. They don't even know what I'm doing. They have no idea. It's Christmas break is here. And oh, you got to work, Dad? It's NBC's birthday. When can we open presents? I'm on the air. So you want to wait? Fine. No.
Yeah, the show just started.
That's true. First segment. Where's Dad? What have you been doing all morning? I thought your show started at 10. Did you see this tweet? This is a funny tweet. This was Yahoo Sports an hour ago. Texas quarterback Arch Manning will take a pay cut next season to support the Longhorns' pursuit of a national title.
I think it's the performance review probably reflected that, I'm sure.
How does that take place? And so they're championing it as he's doing the right thing for his program. The other thing that's crazy about it is like his two uncles always made sure they maximized their money. It was actually Brady who took less.
Yeah.
Peyton and Eli both maximized what they could make. Obviously he doesn't need it, but like he was reporting that he was making over $6 million last year quarterbacking Texas. So now he's putting some of that money back into his own program so they can sign players and retain their own guys.
Real selfless. Looking at you, Julian Sain.
Jeez.
Where's that?
So stupid where this sport is. My God. A couple other things in the portal news. Ohio State finally hit with it. Wide receiver Bryson Rogers announced he's entering the transfer portal. 6'2", 192-pound Rogers going to have two seasons of eligibility left. Put his name in the portal following his first season in town, too. I had forgotten about that, but he did. He was Buckeye wide receiver number 4, 6 catches, 79 yards in 2024. So he enters the portal. I'm curious to see. So the portal opens on January 5th?
I think 2nd.
2nd?
Yeah, that's that first Friday in January.
Okay. Actual Friday, though, right?
Not that Wednesday.
Not the Wednesday.
Right.
So on that Friday, how many of the guys who play this weekend and that play in the quarterfinals pop in Friday? Because remember, last year, the portal was in December, which forced Bo Prabhula to jump into the portal last year at Penn State, and then Penn State did not have a backup quarterback for the college football playoff run. Ironically, Bo Prabhula is back in the portal after a season at Missouri, and a season where I thought he played pretty good. I know he dealt with injury. I kind of lost track of them once their season became irrelevant, and I know that he got hurt, but that did surprise me that he popped back in. I wonder if he's going to Virginia Tech.
That was kind of where I was like, some of these you can kind of connect to where they've got relationships and now where new coaches are.
I have heard
he was good this season. Yeah.
I have heard that Virginia Tech, my little sparrows are telling me that Virginia Tech is ultra aggressive right now. Ultra. So maybe explains why Franklin took that job as quickly as he did. Like maybe they were really organized and they've got the alumni base going. That's the only thing I could think of with Prabhula because he had a really nice year at Missouri.
Yeah, that was interesting to see him pop in there again. It'll be interesting to see, as you talked about, how many of these guys pop in there, pop out of there. Are they going to stay with their teams or not? Because like Bo Prabhula last year, he left Penn State and went on in search of a new team. Devin Brown stayed with Ohio State. And stayed the whole way through the national championship run. Was that good for him or not? Who knows? Did he lose out in the musical chairs? Who knows? And I think it's going to be interesting to see here with Ohio State this year, and Lincoln Keenhole is the same thing.
Does he
hop in the portal? Does he stay or does he go? That could be have a big, big impact on what happens in this college football playoff.
Well, true, and because they use Lincoln in short yardage, like that's happened this year. So if he's not here, obviously they can't use him. I don't think you can argue that it hurt Devin Brown. Of course it did. I mean, he ended up at Cal. There's all this talk that was pre-negotiated, that he was, you know, that's where he was going to there was whispers that's where he was going to go anyway, but he didn't officially put it in. Only folks up at the Woody would know that, and obviously Devin would know that. But did he have more options before? Because he goes to Cal, and then he lost the job to the true freshman kid, the five-star quarterback who initially was committed to Oregon, I believe, and then flipped to Cal and then started last year. But is Devin in it this year? That's the thing. You lose track of some of this stuff, man. Like, some of these guys bounce around so many times. Like, Bo Prabilla will be on his third team this year. And there's more examples of this, of guys playing at four and five places. And I think about Dylan Raiola, who's in the portal this year, and he's saying, well, I need to go someplace where I was developed. Where if you just stayed at either one of the two places you originally committed to, you would have been properly developed. Sounds like at Florida with DJ Legway, he went and had a meeting with the new coach. And the new coach was like, could basically take him or leave him. It's kind of the way that it seems, that he didn't get assurances that he would be developed in a certain way. So he's out there too. Going to be fascinating. I don't know what's going to happen with the Buckeye roster, but there's going to be portaling because they're being contacted right now.
Yeah, all I'd say is just go get Chas Coleman, who I didn't know his story out of Warren, where he played defensive end this year for the Nittany Lions, but he was a great quarterback coming out of high school. I mean, he's a phenomenal athlete. I think he was basketball too. But that's, I think, your top portal target if you're Ohio State. I think he's the number one portal prospect in 24/7's rankings. It's interesting. You got Chas Coleman, number one. Brendan Sorsby is two, the quarterback Cincinnati for Cincinnati. And he's being linked heavily to Texas Tech. And that would make sense. But it's wild that you got Cincinnati starting quarterback, maybe a hotter prospect or a commodity in the portal than Lagway and Raiola.
Yeah, I think what you want, Sorsby is kind of the Mendoza.
Right.
Where the other two were highly regarded out of high school, had kind of mixed seasons as starters, both thrust into it as true freshmen, both presumptive stars as sophomores, didn't quite work out for either one of them. Meantime, Sorsby's kind of taken the other path for it. As for Chas Coleman, I think that if it's about money, he's not coming here. If his primary focus is financial gain, then again, I go back to Virginia Tech. I mean, James Franklin won the recruiting battle for him. He committed to Penn State to play for James Franklin. And again, everything I'm hearing on the Virginia Tech side of things is they are flush with cash that they are throwing around. So I come back to, I think it's going to be an Ohio State Virginia Tech battle for him. And then it'll come down to what matters most. If what matters most to him is maximizing his value, I don't think Ohio State can match the offer that Virginia Tech's going to throw at him. By the way, all of this happening without salary cap, without knowing what anyone, no ability to verify what's being offered. Anytime I hear from somebody who I trust and they say, oh yeah, they're offering, this is a made up number. This isn't scores. They're offering $6.7 million for Chas Coleman. Who's verifying that? How do you verify that? Just word of mouth from the kid? I'm like, can you imagine trying to do this? It's nuts.
And the Chas Coleman thing is super interesting because you obviously have two defensive ends that are leaving. You were worried about defensive line depth this year.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if it was Austin or if it was Berm, but it was one of them. They said, look for Ohio State in the portal this year to focus on the defensive side of the football. If there was an offensive lineman or two that made sense, yes. But they said the defensive side is where Ohio State will focus most of its resources.
That's fair. I would also say big game hunting wide receiver. Pay attention to that. I'd give you a little scores on that one. Tim May, in 2 minutes, Bishop and Friends, right here on the
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Right Way Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
If you say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
It's a Friday at 10:30. We head out on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Conversation with our great friend Tim May, the Tim May Show with Clay Hall, and of course right here on The Fan as well. Let's do a regular season recap, if you will, my friend. When you think back of this Buckeye football season that we all kind of took in with the understanding that we still theoretically will have three games to play, and I think most people expect that. What are some of the storylines that jump out to you? Was there anything that surprised you? Was there anything that exceeded what you thought was possible?
You talking about with Ohio State?
No, Bethune-Cookman. Yes, Buckeyes.
Bethune-Cookman. I thought they were a long shot to begin with, and it proved out to be right. So once again, I was right.
You're never wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Let's look at it. I mean, I'm stammering because Ohio State is oh so close to being 13-0 right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about. I mean,
I do.
One play goes another way in the Big Ten championship game, and Ohio State wins that game. You know, wasn't blown out by Indiana, but the game was it was expected to be close, and it was. But what has come on? I mean, several guys have really stepped up. I mean, Jalen McClain, for example, they've got a double whammy at safety like they had this time a year ago with Lathan Ransom. The defensive line has come along. Caden McDonald, which I said, you know, even on this show like a couple of months ago, yeah. I thought he could be the best defensive tackle in the country. That's been proven, you know,
yep.
At least by the award issuers. I'm just talking about, you know, issues that seem to be there going into the year. Right guard, you know, that's still a question, right?
Yeah.
So past that, I mean, this team has come along like we thought. Julian Sayin is the quarterback Nick Saban recruited. and now he's plying his trade up north. I sent my baby brother Tony a picture of him in an Alabama helmet from back in early January.
Yeah.
Of this year with him with the Alabama number 7 helmet on. I said, you know, he looked pretty good in that for a while.
Let's talk about Julian for a second because you and I, and there were others too, but you and I were really bullish on him, even from his very true freshman year. And I just remember you and I, that very first practice, watching him spin it and being like, okay, that travels. And we had high expectations for him anyway. But Tim, you never know until you know. And I think I go back to the Texas game with him and the way he played. That was like a warm blanket on the season for me because I thought it felt like he could take on even more than they were giving him. And I thought he was the best quarterback on the field in that game. And then he ended up being that in almost every game he played the rest of the year. But it is strange for somebody who you have the highest expectations for anyway to then go ahead and exceed them.
Yeah. It's kind of like, I don't know, going to see somebody. I mean, analogy of going to see some talent you've heard about. But now they're on the big stage, you know, on Broadway, and do they step to the front and deliver? And that's it, you know, that's exactly what he did. I mean, you know, the first big pass he threw, the one to Carnell Tate, you know, for the touchdown against Texas,
it
was slightly short, but extremely accurate, if you follow my drift, and almost like he also was carefully stepping out and letting it fly, you know. So from that moment on, you go, "Hey, this guy's got what it takes." And you know, it's funny because now we're sitting right now, and I imagine he's getting a pay raise for next year. And the guy he went against in that game, Arch Manning, sort of famously now is taking a pay cut.
Right. Yeah, I think that is. Yeah, it is. It's crazy time. Any of this stuff's legal. Like putting these, we're signing contracts, releasing all this stuff. Like, what are you signing a contract to do? Like, they're not supposed to, there's none of it's binding. Like, these NIL contracts can't be binding. So, like, I don't know what the hell's even going on with that part of the sport,
Tim. Well, 1099, you know, the 1099, you're issued at the end of the year, you know, keeps them from hiring you as a full-time employee or a contract. Hey, Bo, I keep bringing up that word, man, brought up with you. You, me, and Doug LaMaurice, I told you about our conversation way back 3 years ago in the parking lot. The only thing that solves this is contracts for the players. And,
It's NFL.
So far, everybody is still reluctant. I don't know why they're reluctant to go to that, because it gives you control to a certain extent and affords them rights. And, you can have a collective bargaining thing from there. But, until they get to that point, a mini NFL model, you know, we're going to be sitting here talking about this 3 years from now.
Yeah, nothing will change until they do it. It's literally the only thing that'll fix it. One thing that I got a little wrong, the spirit of it wrong. I mean, I get a lot of things wrong, but one of the things I definitely got wrong was I thought that the team that we would see going forward, and we may see it because you're climate control or Miami the rest of the way. I thought this would be a spin it, play with tempo, throw it all over the place offense. And that's not necessarily what we saw this year.
No.
We saw Ryan playing a long game, fewer possessions, fewer plays. He knows he's got 16 games. He took a little different approach, even in the big games than I thought, and including in the game a couple weeks ago against Indiana.
Yeah, but he threw it out there pretty early about what their intentions were in that regard. Because, you know, obviously all of us watching the team, you know, and then asking questions, that was after the first several games, you knew what they were up to. Less jeopardy, less exposure means less jeopardy in terms of physically. And also, it's not just the injury aspect. It's the the wear on the tires that he and Mickey Marotti were concerned about, and the training staff. And I think, with the exception of not getting it done against Indiana in the crunch there when they couldn't get the touchdown and then settle for the field goal attempt, and that was that, right? I think this has been pretty well played by Ryan Day and his staff. Now what he's dealing with right now is what all four bye teams dealt with last year, was how do you stay sharp and fresh with a little bit of an edge over these many weeks. As we sit here right now, they still don't even know who they're playing.
Right.
And it's still, a week and a half to go. I know Matt Wilhelm and I talked about that on my Tim May show earlier this week, just about how that 2002 team stayed fresh. And really, Jim Trussell and his staff just did the best they could to sprinkle in, contact and whatever you want to call it, heavy bumping, but without taking away. But the trick there was both teams were dealing with the same exercise.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the other thing was, is the trick there was you weren't dealing with who's going in the portal and who's not.
Correct.
And my guess is that Ryan and Pantone are trying right now to pre-work on the portal is my guess. So that by the time it opens, they know exactly kind of what they're offering and who they want. And I'm guessing that they're having very transparent conversations with their own roster too. And this is completely broken. Obviously we all know it, but this is the rules that we have to play in right now. And I think that adds to kind of what is a chaotic month of December, even though you're not playing games.
Yeah. I mean, so far as you well know, Bryson Rogers, the wide receiver, at least latest, is the only one that we know that's jumping in there of repute. But, you got to see what's coming in the door, too, right?
Yeah.
Chris Henry is coming in the door. And so, in a lot of ways, that makes respect. That makes sense. When I talked to Mark Pantone on my podcast in the summer, he said that is what you're dealing with almost on a daily basis, is figuring who's going to be worth what in terms of the revenue sharing aspect of things. And then, of course, they have the NIL that they deal with now and stuff. But the revenue sharing aspect of it too is that's your salary cap, and you've got to meticulously deal with that. You would rather deal with it in February or March, but some people want to know where they stand. We saw that last year.
Yeah. Is there an opponent that you think would be preferential from the Ohio State perspective between Miami and Texas A&M tomorrow?
I think Marcel Reed, the quarterback for A&M, is really good and sometimes really bad. Yeah. But which one are you going to get? Carson Beck is going to throw it to you at least twice in a game. That's my that's my take on it. Do you are you able to get it? If you're able to get it, that flips that game. I'm talking about from a defensive standpoint looking at them. Offensively, I think Ohio State can throw on both of these teams. If you can protect, both of them have an elite pass rusher. But if you can protect, I think they can be had. I mean, definitely, with you got to figure Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate will be 100% or close to 100%. Let's put it that way. It's going to be a different looking offense than even against the Indiana game. But you got to be able to protect. You got to handle the A-B gap problem you saw off and on from the right side of this offensive line. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, right guard. Yep. If you can handle that, you know, I think this team can go places against both of these teams.
Which one do you think they would prefer, though? I'm going to make you answer the question.
Oh, I don't. I'm humming and hawing.
If you're Ryan Day, would you rather play Texas A&M or Miami?
I'd rather play Miami just from one aspect, which is the home field deal again. I mean, what? Kyle Field is only 190 miles, I think, from Dallas. Maybe closer than that. So Texas A&M, the 12th man is going to show up. That is for damn sure. Just like Texas last year in the semifinal. So yeah, you'd much rather play Miami because many more Ohio State fans will be able to get tickets.
There's no doubt. Yeah. There's no doubt. If I don't talk to you before, Merry Christmas to you and the family and all the grandbabies and all of it, buddy. Always thankful for the time we get to spend chatting about college football. Thanks for your time.
By the way, I'm on Rothman and Ice this afternoon, and I think I'm subbing for you next week sometime. So, have a merry holiday.
There you go. Well said. There he goes. Tim May, the Tim May Show with Clay Hall on FanStreamSports.com. And, of course, you'll hear him a lot over the next couple of days here on The Fan. Thing or Not a Thing coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah. They've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This is The Daily Show with Coach Jake Diebler, brought to you by Incova Insurance. When you have a stretch like this where you have a week between games, how do you map out what you do as far as practice, recovery, and possibly some rest?
Well, it's a balance. I think we got to continue to get better. You know, that's the big thing for us. Every time we step on the floor, we want to get a little bit better. We got to raise our consistency level. We've shown what it looks like when we play at a really high level on both ends. We got to do that more. But then we also got to take advantage of the time we have to prepare for a high-level opponent. So some guys need a little bit more time to recover than others. But make no mistake, we're fully focused on preparing well for our opportunity on Saturday while continuing to push the envelope as far as letting us, you know, have space to get better as a team.
Okay, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, two-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer both on and off the court. That's why Incova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Incova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Incova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. Basketball is full of challenging shots, and life can be too. With Incova, you don't have to do it alone. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Incova on your team. Visit Incova.com today to find an agent near you. Incova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
At Ohio State, we are the never afraid to innovate teams. The agile, get it done teams. The achieve more together teams. And the improve people's lives teams. Together, we are the Ohio State University.
Learn more about Ohio State at osu.edu/impact.
Jake, I'm getting ready to take on North Carolina. I know you talk about it with pretty much each and every game. But what a great opportunity this is for your team.
It is. This is, you know, this is a big part of our non-conference schedule is a game like this. And, you know, we have five high major games that we target in our non-conference schedule each season. And so this is a great event. Doubleheader. It'll be, you know, all eyes of college basketball will be on this Saturday in Atlanta, and it's an exciting platform for us to show how we've improved against a really good team.
Still like how this is built into your schedule each and every year?
Yeah, I do. This is an event we want to be a part of, and we're going to continue to be a part of and want to be a part of for a really long time.
Okay, this is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Tis the season to be hungry at Roosters. That's why for every $50 spent on Roosters gift cards, you'll receive a $10 Rooster Buck back in your stocking. May your holidays be filled with friends and family, love and laughter, and of course, Roosters Wings. Go to roosterswings.com today or drop by any Roosters location to purchase your $50 holiday gift cards and receive a $10 Rooster Buck in return. Happy holidays from all of us at Roosters. Roosters, a fun casual joint.
Toyota Thona's on, and there's no better way to get in the spirit of the season than with a new Toyota. Now through January 5th, get 2.99 APR financing on remaining new 25 Tacomas. Excludes TRD Pro and Trailhunter. Or lease a well-equipped 25 Tacoma SR5 for $259 a month for 39 months with $39.99 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS. Tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places. Toyota.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Drink recommendations, movie reviews, sports discussion, and whatever the hell Reeser does. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a Friday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
So Texas is still playing Michigan on New Year's Eve.
Crazy.
In the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. On Thursday, the Longhorns announced the firing of defensive coordinator Pete Kwiatkowski after five seasons and replaced him with Will Muschamp.
Mm-hmm.
The 54-year-old Muschamp returns to Austin, where he was the Longhorns DC from 2008 to 2010, and at one point, he was the named successor to Mac Brown. Thing or not a thing?
Will Muschamp was so coveted that he was the coach-in-waiting at Texas, and I'm pretty sure they created the title for him. I think he was the first coach-in-waiting that I can remember. Jimbo was that at Florida State, but I'm pretty sure the model was Will at Texas was the first one that was done. And he was so highly thought of that Florida just hired him to be the head coach. He's been the head coach at South Carolina, too. What is there an SEC school he hasn't coached at? Because he's coached at LSU, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, Texas, Auburn. I'm pretty sure Alabama. Has he been? The only ones would maybe be the Ole Misses and Tennessee and Vanderbilt and that. But I think he's coached at seven SEC schools.
Yeah, you had it right. It's those schools that he's not. I mean, Oklahoma.
He's been to Oklahoma too?
No, he's not been to Oklahoma.
Okay. So Oklahoma, Missouri, the two Mississippis and Vanderbilt. Is that it? And Kentucky probably.
Yes.
Those are the six.
Texas A&M.
Okay, there's A&M. So there's
forgetting SEC teams.
Yeah, you forget who's in. It's just a fascinating thing. Dwayne Aquino was also fired in this, and he was a defensive coach there for a long time under Mac Brown, and then went to Stanford, and then he came back. I don't know if this is a thing or not. I don't think their defense was the problem at Texas this year. I think it was their offense, but sounds like obviously Sark wants a change here, and Muschamp's bounced around on the defensive staffs.
I think it's always kind of been a thought, would Muschamp have been better off just staying at Texas and being the coach in waiting and taking mm-hmm. over for Mac Brown? Obviously, he went to Florida, and then you've talked about the path that has ensued from there. Sometimes a reunion at places doesn't work. Sometimes it does. This could be a thing if Muschamp can take that Texas defense to a new level. I'm not sure that he can. I mean, he's obviously a good coach, though, because he keeps getting hired.
Yeah, he's got a really good network of coaches. The other thing that is that I was thinking about with this from the Muschamp perspective. Yeah, so he was the DC at Georgia. He's been at Georgia since 21. Interesting.
If you've got absolutely nothing to do tonight, I have something to keep your eyes on tonight in a second. But earlier this week, former five-division boxing champion Terrence Crawford retired from the sport. The announcement came just 3 months after Crawford became the only boxer in the four-belt era to become an undisputed champion in three weight classes. He accomplished the feat when he defeated Canelo Alvarez for the undisputed super middleweight championship back in September. In other boxing news, Jake Paul's going to fight Anthony Joshua tonight in Miami. The 28-year-old Paul headlines a card that'll be live on Netflix starting at 7. The main event's expected around 10 o'clock. Joshua most recently knocked out former UFC heavyweight champion Francis Ngannou in under two rounds back in March of 2024. At the weigh-in last night, Paul came in at 216.6. Anthony Joshua, 243.4. Thing or not a thing?
Well, this is, I mean, I think these are all fixed for the Jake Paul person anyway, so I don't really care about any of this. But my hunch is that, like, if Anthony Joshua tried, my boxing knowledge, I used to pay much closer attention than I do now. And by when I mean used to, I mean like 25 years ago. I would think that if Anthony Joshua wanted to bury Jake Paul, he could pretty easily, right?
So I am not someone who believes that Jake Paul is actually a bad boxer. I do probably believe that these things and these fights have been kind of staged and fixed. But I've watched some videos of Jake Paul training with some of the guys he's training. He's got really quick hands and he's very powerful.
Yeah.
So I think Jake Paul has kind of done himself a disservice with the way he's done this. Obviously, he's made a ton of money.
Yeah.
So you can't argue with that. But I think if he would have been taking on actual boxers all along, there might be a legitimacy to him being a boxer, because I actually think he's decent. Now, that being said, if this is real tonight, just because of the strict size and how long Anthony Joshua's been doing it, Joshua will absolutely starch him.
Right.
Like, there's no way.
No way.
And this is things, I don't even know how this is sanctioned. Like, I've never seen a 243-pound man fight a 216-pound. Maybe they're both just heavyweight, and it's over and whatever the heavyweight limit is, so who cares? And as long as you're under 265, I believe, you're okay. But if this is real tonight, this is going to be
30 pounds.
This is going to be a murder.
Well, and how tall is Anthony Joshua? Isn't he tall?
Taller than Jake Paul, and I think Jake Paul is 6 feet.
He's about 6'4".
Six,
six,
six.
Yeah.
Oh, 6'6". Wow.
And that's not program height. He's a legit 6'5", 6'6".
Yeah, because it's, I mean, in boxing, they have to have accurate heights and weights. Like, how can Jake Paul even get near him?
Well, I've heard chatter that there's a no-knockout clause in the contract where Anthony Joshua can't knock him out. But I don't know if that's confirmed or not. That would lean to Baker's point of it's rigged.
So then we just have Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones, and who cares?
Yeah, that's nonsense.
All right, we're going to do the Pete Thamel cut here, Baker. He had some comments on the situation that Arizona State is in trying to keep Kenny Dillingham.
The difference between Arizona State and Michigan and Alabama and whatever has always been pronounced, right? Let's not kid ourselves. It's always been pronounced. Yeah. I don't think it's ever been more pronounced than it is right now. Look, Kenny Dillingham went and took a backup quarterback from Michigan State and turned him into a first-round pick playoff contender, right? So Kenny Dillingham went, found the guy, worked with him, turned him into a star, and helped him, right? The same level had a lot to do with this. He's a talented guy, so I'm not just saying this is like Kenny's like some magic puppeteer, but you find your guy that in past generations of college football, you'd walk in lockstep with, and he'd come back for the Hall of Fame in 20 years, da-da-da-da. And that guy just says, you know what? I'm going to go get paid. And that's not a criticism of Sam Levitt by any means at all, but it's just sort of like the modern reality is that you can find your once a generation guy and he can soon become LSU or Oregon's next in the assembly line guy. I've not talked to anybody about Arizona State about this, but that reality, that looms large, man. Like, we could do it all right and still just have somebody come in, money whip our guy, pull him out, and send him on his way. That's hard.
Thing or not a thing?
So I think he just explained the difference between Arizona State and Michigan. Is that what the attempt was there, that that wouldn't happen at Michigan? Which, by the way, I don't know that it wouldn't. I don't know that it wouldn't. Bryce Underwood may be gone anyway. Like, I think this can happen anywhere. Anywhere. I mean, yeah, for a coaching change, okay, fine. But we have Alabama's starting quarterback. Like this, I don't think that Arizona State's any more affected by this than Michigan would be. It's not even about the history of the program. It's something you have to get to start to wrap your head around. Texas Tech's an example of this. Vanderbilt, Indiana. It's about, is your alumni base ready to spend? And if they are, you can do it anywhere.
And I think maybe that's the point, that Michigan is going to spend more than Arizona State and has more money and resources than Arizona State ever has. So everything's in favor of Kenny Dillingham if he wants to go win and get the best players, head to a school like Michigan.
Yeah, that could be. Final hour of the program coming up next. Doug LeMaurice at 11:30. What we learned this week, well, I'll do a little know the scores on the college football playoff picks as well. That's coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Question from a listener. Do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. The college football playoff begins tonight. Alabama's at Oklahoma for an 8 o'clock kick in Norman. Friday's winner gets Indiana in the Rose Bowl quarterfinal New Year's Day. Ohio State's going to play in the Cotton Bowl quarterfinal on New Year's Eve. Buckeyes will play either Miami or Texas A&M. The Hurricanes will meet the Aggies tomorrow at noon. In the NFL, the Seahawks beat the Rams 38-37 in overtime last night. Seattle occupies the top spot in the NFC. Week 16 in the NFL continues tomorrow. The Commanders host the Eagles, while the Packers are at the Bears at 8:20. In college hoops, the Ohio State women's squad's ranked number 21. Buckeyes are 10-1 after beating Norfolk State 79-45 last night at the Shot. Jake Diebler's squad heads to Georgia to play UNC tomorrow in the CBS Sports Classic. You can hear Ohio State and North Carolina from Atlanta Saturday with pregame coverage starting at 2 p.m. right here on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Men are working on everything except this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, final hour on a football Friday. Doug LeMaurice coming up at 11:30. We will go around the AFC North coming up here in about 16, 17 minutes. But for the heck of it, why not? One more time. Let's see if we know the scores.
It's time for Know the Scores on Bishop and Friends.
Sponsored by Buckeye Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
Bake, what did you end up knowing the scores?
I don't remember the actual number, but it was 19 games over 500.
Good job out of you. Yeah, I ended up 93-68 overall. Went 4-5 last time out. So pretty good job on the college football side of things, both of us, buddy. So these won't count towards our season totals. Although if we go 6-0, then I suppose we'll make them count.
Yeah, make them count.
That works.
When you know what the result is,
then we'll make a decision.
It's your show. Do what you want to.
We got our show. We've got four college football games. You got a couple of 1AA semifinals. Let's have a little fun. Go ahead, Reese.
I want to start tonight at Norman at A Memorial Stadium. Can I interest you real quick in the Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl or the Myrtle Beach Bowl?
Who's in it? Just do it live.
We'll do it live.
Okay. You could pick the four playoff games, you get the 2-1 delay A games. You can pick any two bowls you want. Sight unseen.
All right, we're doing today then. Kennesaw State at Western Michigan. It is the MAC champion Western Michigan, a 3.5 point favorite.
It's all right. Western -3.5.
Correct.
This is K-State.
The Owls of Kennesaw State.
There ain't no stopping those Broncos, baby. They're going to row the boats all day long. I got Western Michigan winning this one 38-17.
Yeah, I'm not going against the MAC. Go Broncos. They win 31-14.
All right, so it's Memphis and NC State at 2:30.
Oh, my God.
From Tampa. The Wolfpack are 3.5-point favorites.
All right. NC State could have maybe been the ACC champions. Didn't they beat Virginia?
They beat Virginia, but in a non-conference game.
That's right.
I mean, for the longest time, Memphis was the team that was getting in the college football playoff, right? North Carolina State, I love the Wolfpack, but they don't want to be there. Give me the Tigers. They're going to win 28-27.
I'm with you. I'll go outright Tigers on this one. I like the who wants to be there card in this one. Memphis happy to be in Tampa. NC State maybe not. I'll take the Tigers as well, bigly.
Yeah, for Western Michigan and Memphis, like they get the week before Christmas, get to go to warmer destinations and just play some football. Tonight, the college football playoff, your first round matchup has Alabama at Oklahoma. The Sooners, 1.5-point favorite, Bo.
Yeah, I think Kalen DeBoer is a really good big game coach. I think this is a little bit of an anomaly that they've lost twice to Oklahoma. Cost them a playoff game last time, a playoff appearance last time. Damn near did this time as well. I think Oklahoma's the better team, but I do think somehow, some way, Alabama goes up there and gets the win in this one. Give me the Crimson Tide. Winning a close one. I think it's going to be pretty gross, like 21-19 tied.
I picked the Sooners. I can't go against them. Boomer Sooner, 24-20.
Tomorrow at noon Eastern, 11 o'clock Central, you've got Miami and Texas A&M. It's the Aggies, a 3-point favorite, Big.
I picked in our bracket that Miami would win, so I'm going to stay with that. Give me the U so the Buckeyes can smack them around in the Cotton Bowl. I got Miami. I think it's a little lower scoring than maybe I thought. Miami 24, Texas A&M 21.
Yeah, I think I like the under in this one as well. I think it's a bit of a rock fight down there, and it's just going to be a matter of which quarterback makes a few more plays. And I do think the fact that Carson Beck has played in more of these games will help them. I think the fact that it's an 11 a.m. local kick does not help Texas A&M at all. It'll still be raucous. One of the best games I've ever had on campus. But I'm with you. I think Miami goes down there and gets the win. I think we get Buckeyes and Canes in the Cotton Bowl. I like Miami winning kind of a gross game as well. I think really low scoring, 17-16 Canes.
No, you're not crazy. This game has happened before. But at 3:30 tomorrow, Ole Miss is going to host Tulane in the college football playoff. It is the Rebs with Pete Golding as their new head coach. 17.5-point favorites, Bo.
They're going to be fired up as all heck to begin this game. It's such an exciting game to be at Oxford. But I do think that could turn to nervous energy as it goes along. I think Jake Retzlaff and Tulane make this thing a little more interesting than anybody in Oxford wants it to be. Ole Miss wins, but I don't think it's going to be some sort of an annihilation. I think Ole Miss wins a really fun game, something like 35-28 or something like that. So give me Tulane to cover.
So I think you're right on the Ole Miss of the, part of this with 35. Tulane's only getting 14. Ole Miss covers.
All right, we'll go chronologically on Saturday, and we'll head to the FCS, where their semifinal matchups have Brawl of the Wild Part 2. This is Cat Grizz at 4 o'clock in Bozeman, Montana State and Montana. It is the Bobcats, 5.5-point favorites, Bo.
Yeah, we went to Missoula and beat the Grizz in the Cat Grizz game at the end of the month. I do think Montana State wins again, but it will be an awfully nervous stadium. I think it's really close. I like the Grizz to cover, the Cats to win in a close one, 27-24.
There's no way I'm going against your Bobcats, Bo.
Let's go, baby.
I'm not doing that. They cover. Montana State 31-21.
And the winner there will advance to the FCS championship game in Frisco. Who they're going to face? Illinois State and Villanova play tomorrow in Philadelphia. Tomorrow night, I should say, at 7:30. But Illinois State, the visiting team, they're the 2.5-point favorites, Big.
I don't even know what Illinois State is, daggone it.
Redbirds.
But
Normal Illinois, I've been there.
I know Villanova, and they've been on this stage before in basketball. So I'll take the points. Nova with the upset. 35-34.
It's one of the most remarkable things what Illinois State has done. They went to North Dakota State and beat the number one team in the country. Then they went to UC Davis and beat them. In their last regular season game, guys, they got bombed by Southern Illinois 37-7. The week before that, they were bombed by South Dakota State. They beat South Dakota State. They got a weird loss to Youngstown State. Weird season for them. But they're favored in this game. It seems like they're on a roll. Give me the Redbirds. Redbirds take care of business and advance to the national championship game.
And then tomorrow night at 7:30 in Eugene, it's the Oregon Ducks and the James Madison Dukes.
Yep.
Oregon is a 20.5-point favorite.
James Madison has done a very clever, funny job with their social media. They did this right after the matchup was announced. I don't know if you guys saw this or picked up on it, but they had video of Oregon's players running in slow-mo. And with the caption, something along the lines of, this Oregon is the slowest team in the history of college football. So they trolled them pretty good, which I do enjoy. I think Oregon can win the national title. I think that Autzen, despite the fact that this is just a nonsense game to be in a college football playoff, I think it will be rocking. I think they will send a message. I think that they will look at what happened last year to them against Ohio State and say, that's the team we need to be. A team that is salivating to play every single week. And I think they send a message. I got Oregon by 1.5 billion.
Yep. Don't overthink this one. Ducks 41-10.
So if that plays out the way that, so then it would be Bama, Indiana in the Rose Bowl, for God's sakes. We both had Miami, right?
We both had Miami. You had Bama. I had Oklahoma.
Okay, so you'd have Oklahoma. Either way, it's Crimson and Cream against Indiana.
And a hell of a scene.
Yeah. And then Miami, Ohio State would be in the Cotton Bowl. Ole Miss and Georgia, Sugar. And then Oregon, Texas Tech in the Orange.
Yep.
If all of that chalk kind of went the way that we thought. And the one only real difference we had was that one. It's going to be fun. I wish that the A&M game was in the afternoon or evening. I think that would make it even better. And I think college football's get to a point where they're not so afraid of the NFL. It's okay to take an L. You can take an L. The NFL game will do 21 million. You'll still do six. It's fine. Like, do right by your sport from time to time would be helpful for somebody of the adults in the room as far as that one is concerned. We'll get back to the National Football League. We've got AFC North battles. What exactly do you expect to see out of Shedeur Sanders for the Browns? The Bengals are down in Miami against the Dolphins. Joe Burrow against Quinn Ewers in that one. And the Steelers trying to keep their heads above water against the Lions. We'll go over all of that, get you set for the weekend in the National Football League coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The sound of Paul Keel's calling a Buckeye game is erotic.
Oh, yes.
Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
It's the year-end.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Back in the day, if you wanted to listen to The Fan, you turned on the radio, and that was the end of the story.
But now, oh baby, stream us live on The Fan app.
TuneIn app, iHeart app, we're everywhere.
The Fan, Ohio's streaming destination.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We are looking at some much colder conditions here for today as highs are only in the 20s here this afternoon. Winds will be fairly strong out of the northwest at 15 to 30 miles per hour, and that's going to make it feel like it's down in the single digits and teens here for your Friday. But we are looking ahead to some warmer temperatures here for tomorrow. Highs are back in the mid 40s, and that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
Have you already started your tailgate?
Us too.
It's Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. The best hair on the air.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are. Get ready to play, win, and celebrate big at Eldorado Siena Downs, your ultimate Caesars Rewards destination. With Caesars Rewards, you're going to earn rewards every time you play, stay, dine, or shop. And not just here, but over 50 Caesars Rewards destinations across the country. From unforgettable getaways to incredible culinary experiences, members enjoy exclusive perks and benefits that make every visit worth it. At Siena Downs, the excitement is nonstop. Take your pick. More than 1,700 of the hottest new games. Sip on award-winning craft brews at the Brew Brothers Micro Brewery, or dive into Guy Fieri's Trattoria, home of the Out of Bounds 68-layer lasagna. And the energy just keeps on building. Siena Downs has been chosen to host the prestigious Breeders' Crown in 2026, featuring 12 championship races. It's one of the biggest events in harness racing, and it's coming to town. So come, experience the action, the rewards, the unforgettable moments waiting for you at Eldorado Siena Downs, a Caesars Rewards destination where the rewards never stop. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966. Visit caesars.com/Siena Downs for details. When is the... It might be more recent than I recall, but when was the last time that with three games left in the season, neither the Browns nor the Bengals were playing relevant games in terms of trying to meaningful games for postseason play? Because even the Bengals last year were in it till the very end. Would it have been 2023?
It sounds...
No, that's the Flacco year with the Browns, right?
Yeah, no, they were in playoff contention, and they made the playoffs.
Yeah, they made it. So 2022, no. I mean, it's probably been a minute.
Yeah.
It's probably been a minute since both of them have been cooked with three games to play, and that's the circumstance that we find ourselves in. Let's start up in Cleveland. The Browns are hosting the Bills. For Buffalo, look, it's about continuing to win. It's about increasing their positioning in terms of the playoff, and it's about probably making sure that Myles Garrett doesn't set the sack record. He could do so with a sack and a half. That would do it. It's an interesting one in that it's probably the matchup of the best defensive player in the NFL and the best offensive player in the NFL in this one with Josh Allen and Myles Garrett. From the Browns' perspective, though, I do think most of the eyes and attention in terms of long-term will be on Shedeur Sanders. He will be making, is this his fifth start? And he'll have a couple of more after that. Here is Shedeur from the middle of the week talking about the ability to effort remaining composed regardless of the situation he finds himself in.
You know, I got to get more completions, and even whenever we're down or anything, I can't press, you know. I just got to remain having those mental notes to myself, just work within the game and just keep just driving the ball, get first downs.
I think that is, when you watch Stafford play last night, and, you know, Stafford's playing at an MVP level. I mean, we all know that, and he's a borderline. He might be playing himself into being a Hall of Famer. But when you watched the game last night, if indeed that you did, that's the challenge for Shedeur. Not to play like Matthew Stafford, but to play on schedule. That's something that he has to prove to that front office and ownership group and everybody over this stretch. He's got a long runway here to play. He's already got a bunch of starts under his belt. He's got at least three more, barring an injury, where he's going to be able to show them what he's capable of. And in order to prove to them that they do not have to go sign a quarterback in free agency or trade for one, or that they do not have to draft one, to me, that's what he needs to do. He's shown an ability to layer the ball and throw the go as good as anybody. Like, he has the ability to do that. Can he drop on a three-step and throw it to a spot where a guy is going to be and move the ball down the field? Right now, and again, this is more fun than it was before, but right now it's a little feast or famine. It's big plays over the top, but not consistent drive movers. That will be the challenge tomorrow for them, or Sunday rather for them, is can Shedeur show you some of that? And not just against the Bills, but the final two games of the season as well, against Pittsburgh and the Bengals.
And the speaking of the Cincinnati Bengals, also with the New England Patriots, they show that they could put Buffalo into a hole. Weeks ago, when we talked about what would success look like for Shedeur, this is before the week of the Oakland Raider, the Las Vegas Raiders game, and yep. You would ask me what success looks like. So then I say 50% completion percentage, 1-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. I'm going to carry that through the rest of the season, knowing the talent that's around him, knowing that the injuries that have been there for the offensive line, knowing that he's got Jerry Jeudy to commit the most ridiculous turnovers or incompletions or even penalties almost humanly possible. For Sanders, he's at 52% right now completion percentage, five touchdowns, six interceptions.
Well, if you have it up right now, you can see that statistically he's worse than Gabriel at everything except yards plus attempts, yards per attempt. Everything else he's below.
But it's that ability that you talked about that's not a stat where he can drive the ball down the field.
Yes.
Has me saying it's Shador over Gabriel if you're looking forward to next season. But I also don't think there's a situation where Sanders does anything to hold off the Browns from going and getting a veteran.
I think he can. I mean, I think he can. He's got the Bills, the Steelers, and the Bengals. He has, up until last week, which was a little bit of a regression, he had gotten better each week. So can he get back on the good side of things against Buffalo? Now, he had an incredible, the teams that he got to start against, he was obviously came in relief against Baltimore at home. That's a little more than a month ago. But in the four games that he started, he got Vegas, San Francisco, Tennessee, and then Chicago. Vegas is obviously very, very bad. San Francisco's defense does not get to the quarterback. And so there was nothing from a pressure standpoint he had to deal with there. And then Tennessee, he threw it all over the place. 42 attempts, 23 of 42, 364. Last week was the step back. I can't put all three of those interceptions on him. Obviously, one of them's on Judy. The other two are on him. But that completion percentage has got to get up if you're going to say to Browns ownership, hey, don't worry about quarterback. I gotcha. So I do think he can, but I think he can do it. He's got the runway to do this here. This is not some sort of quarterback draft where you say, without question, oh, there's a dude here. Now, I'm not arrogant enough to say that Fernando Mendoza won't be a dude. He might be. He very well might be. The kid at Dante Moore might be a dude. He might be, you know? But this isn't, like, the draft in 2027 is going to have a lot of guys that you think are going to be the dude. And that's the challenge for them as they try to put together a roster that has a bunch of holes. So, like, if Shador can show you something in the last three, that goes back to what I said in July about him. He's a lottery ticket.
And I think most Browns fans would be comfortable accumulating talent. Like, you guys, people who cover this team talk about all the time, whereas you've got to have weapons. And the Browns have two first-round picks. They have the opportunity, at least in the top 10, to get their pick. And the Jacksonville pick kind of looks like it's slipping into the mid to, you know, higher, mid to upper 20s.
Yeah.
That's still a place where you can get improvement on your offense. So I think both of those picks need to be used in that situation. And then the more, if you can accumulate more talent, I mean, if you can have a draft like you did this past year, if you can stack drafts like the 125 and another one like 26 with guys that are ready to go, and you could turn that, you can flip it quickly regardless of who your quarterback is.
Reese, my only pushback on that is for about 6 years now, I've been told the Browns had one of the most talented rosters in the NFL and it got them nothing. And because of that, because they didn't think Baker can get them where they needed to go with that super talented roster, they gave up the franchise for Deshaun.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's where you are. So it's kind of like that old thing, the Penei Sewell, Jamar Chase type argument. Like, what's going to be better for you? I think most Browns fans want to get the quarterback because then they feel like they can do everything. The pieces and the dominoes will fall around them. I don't think they're like, man, let's get a really talented roster and see if Shador's the guy. I think they want to get the guy and then fit everything around him. Because, like I said, I've been told the Browns are the most talented team for a long time.
Well, you're embellishing a little. You were probably told that in like 2021.
I am embellishing a little bit, but I mean,
four or five years ago,
they got the best offensive line. They got Nick Chubb,
well,
yada yada.
Yeah, I mean,
and they still wanted to go get the quarterback.
Odell and Jarvis, and they looked at it and said, I don't think that this quarterback can get us over the hill. And then there was a million things that I've talked about a bunch behind the scenes with Bake that led him to that spot. But you're both right. Like, that's why Shador is the lottery ticket. If they believe that he can be what you just described, Bake, and you're right to be skeptical about it, he's got to go prove it. He was a fifth-round pick, for crying out loud. He's got to go prove that he can do it. But if he can do that, then it allows to do what Reese is talking about, where you can draft Carnell Tate and you can draft an offensive they're going to need – they probably – here's the thing that if Shador – if they believe in Shador, here's what it does. And if he proves to them that they ought to believe in him, here's what it does. It allows for you to go wide receiver and two tackles with your first three picks. And then you fix those things like that. That's what it allows you to do. If you don't believe in him, then Bake, you're 100% right. Find a quarterback you do believe in. That's the task. Now, in terms of the other two games in the North, I have no idea what to expect of the Bengals. No clue. It's been a weird week down there. It's been a weird 10 days down there. I have no idea what to expect with them going against Quinn Ewers down in Miami. And I think Pittsburgh's going to have a tough road to hoe at Detroit. I think that Lions team is going to be fired up and ready to go. So how this AFC North is going to shake out over the next 2 weeks, my hunch is it's going to be Pittsburgh getting in because Baltimore lost some games they probably shouldn't have early and even late. So that's probably the way that's going to shake out. And while the Bengals and Browns aren't playing for anything, there's still a lot of intrigue around it. The Shador part, the Miles part from the Browns, does he get to track down history? And then from the Bengals' perspective, where is Joe Burrow's head coming out of this one? And how does his play go? Some positive signs from Ja'Marr Chase at the end of the week. Looks like T. Higgins is starting to ramp up a little bit. So it seems like Cincinnati's still going to have their give-a-damn level high, but only one way to find out, and that'll be Sunday down in Miami. Doug LaMaurice in 2 minutes, Bishop and Friends right here on the...
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Hardest day, the day you hear...
This is a type of blood cancer.
At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one. To learn more and get help on any day, visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Sloman's Home.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
After putting up with Dom DeBerry for a decade, the broadcast gods gave Bo these two. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, let's get smarter on a Friday. Time to head out to Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Conversation with our good buddy Doug LaMaurice, the Bill and Doug Show on YouTube. The Substack is Bill and Doug. osu.substack.com, and he joins us as he always does on a Friday. Big picture, as we look back on this season before we get into the playoff games that commence tonight, what did we learn about college football in 2025 that maybe we didn't know before it started?
I think we might have learned that Ohio State is like the best program in the country if there's going to be any kind of dominant program in this era going forward. I think it's them. That doesn't mean you win the national championship every year, but I think the way they're set up, coaching, players, resources, just that position, if you're looking for an ex-Bama, it's them. And then I do think it's a reminder of everything flattening out. I think it's like confirming the things we thought we knew, but that Indiana didn't go away.
No.
Right? I think that's like a huge deal. And that, you know, Bama's not running through the SEC. We have Ole Miss in here. We have Texas A&M in here. Like, we have like a sort of like a new crop of people. We saw some teams drop off. Like, the flattening out that we thought was happening happened. And I just think we all have to get used to, you know, I think people looked at like, oh, Texas and Penn State and Clemson were in the top four in the preseason. And look how dumb everybody was. They're not in the playoffs. Like, that's great. It's surprising. It's not boring. It's interesting. It doesn't mean that everyone's stupid about college football. It means that this sport is in a place where, you know, back when we were in the 14 playoff and it was Ohio State, Oklahoma, Alabama, Clemson every year and people were bored, we're not there anymore, man. And I think we should celebrate that, not complain about it.
No, I do. I think all of that is more interesting, and it helps because you and I continue to reside here, and so you get to talk about the team that's the model in the sport primarily. But I do think the other thing that happened this year for me that I was curious if it would stack is, you've heard the term, no doubt, new money. So Indiana's new money. Vanderbilt's kind of new money. Vanderbilt got the number one quarterback in the country to flip from Georgia to Vanderbilt. I covered that league. Yeah. That's impossible, Doug. That doesn't happen. Texas Tech is new money. BYU might be new money. Like, there are programs that are, and by the way, Virginia Tech sounded like they're going to be a little bit of new money now. So that's something we're all going to have to get used to here as we're in this time period with the sport.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it doesn't mean that the teams at the top go away, but more teams are at their level.
Yes.
Right? And I think that's good. Like, tier one is bigger and tier two is closer to tier one than it used to be. And I think all of that is good. And again, it's easy for Ohio, like, for us to sit here and say it because Ohio State's still at the top. But it's even like when you go through the first weekend in December and you're thinking about recruiting classes, and it's just a reminder. It's like, oh man, like, why didn't Ohio State have a couple more five stars? Because nobody does. Because it's all flattened out, you know? So, and that's, you just have to realize the gap has closed. And so, you're still great, but you're not probably going to be quite as dominant as the best team in the country would have been in the past. But I think overall, great for the sport. And I'm just aggravated at this point in the year, Bo, that there's just so much complaining, you know, like I hate that some people choose to make the number one topic around college football as we go into the playoff games, like complaining. And it's like, why? Like, why are you complaining so much? Isn't it great? I think it's great.
Yeah, but I do think the only counter I would say to that, the complaining is still content. Like, that's still content. No. It's negative content, but it is content, and it hasn't slowed at all the interest. Like, the ratings have never been better. No one's watched more. Now, the attendance in the bowls are going to be tough, but that's not what this is about anyway. It's always been about television shows. And so those numbers are going to be massive. In fact, I would go the other way. I'm disappointed Texas A&M Miami is not at night. They should have played it at night.
I don't know.
Instead of worrying about staying away from the NFL.
And I do, I mean, I wish there was somebody from the NCAA who could go talk to the NFL, right? This is your free minor league. Why are you trying to crush us? Like, we're in this together. We're the two prongs of the most popular sport, the most popular pop culture thing in America. We know the NFL is king, but like, we're right next to you. We're the prince. Mm-hmm. We're the prince of America. You're the king of America. Like, why? Why can't we do this hand in hand? Why do you have to bigfoot us? You bigfoot everybody else. And I wish there was somebody who could speak on behalf of college football and kind of have that conversation. Like, why are we doing it this way? But that's the best game, right? Yes. Like, that's the best, and it's the most interesting, and it's obviously the most interesting for Ohio State fans. But, you know, in our show, and Bill and I on our show were talking about, if you were ranking the eight teams who were playing this weekend, I think Oregon's one, and we think Miami and Texas A&M are two and three. So, and they're playing each other. So that's the banger. And why is it at noon?
Yeah. And it's, you know, you say, a year ago at this time, if we were having this conversation, I would have said that what you just described from the NCAA talking to the NFL, which is something I've been a proponent of for years, I would have said, well, okay, it seems like Sankey and Petiti are walking hand in hand on this stuff. But Tony's had a tough year. He's had a very difficult year. And I don't know who... Sankey, whatever you think of him, like, he's running his own little fiefdom down there. But I don't know who is going to be the person in the Big Ten to say, hey, let's go have some big boy conversations and let's get all on the same page, not just with the SEC, but with the NFL.
Yeah, I talked to Ross Bjork about this a couple of years ago, Big Ten Media Days, even like in the world where, you know, college athletic departments are trying to like find new revenue streams because they're paying the players and whatever. It's like, you know, you're a free minor league. It's not like you're going to shut the NFL out you can't threaten the NFL, but college football serves the NFL and the NFL gains something from college football. What does college football gain from the NFL? Like, kind of nothing.
No.
So like, why can't there be a little more something here? And again, like, well, what are you going to do? Oh, your scouts can't come to practice, right? Like that's not what's going to happen. But I find it odd. Like, if the NFL does it to anybody else, it's not odd. It's like, sorry, it's the big kid on the block, you know, but this is your friend. This is your not partner, but comrade. Like, what are we doing here? But yeah, who's going to be the negotiator? And Tony Petitti's flailing. Like, it should be, he's in a position of strength, and he just doesn't project that. He projects like, what? What are you doing? And it's unfortunate because the Big Ten's like had two of those in a row now. Kevin Warren's like throwing the Bears Stadium into Lake Michigan, and it's like, oh my God, that guy ran the Big Ten. So it's like, can we get somebody in charge of the Big Ten who projects competence and strength? And we're 0-2.
Yeah, it's the damnedest thing. The Warren thing this week was unbelievable. It's like the Bears, one of the most storied franchises, like, oh yeah, let's get Kevin Warren to be our forward-facing person with this. Did you not see what happened with the Big Ten? Like, what gives you the idea that he can handle it?
And he gave a Big Ten championship game away to a network who's now trying to sell it. It's just like, Kevin Warren, what are you doing? So
somehow still has power. He's running the Bears. All right. What do you the game that of course Ohio State get the winner is the one that we're most interested of, and I would be even if Ohio State wasn't getting the winner. I'm with you. I think it's the best game by far, and I actually think both of those teams are capable of making it very difficult for Ohio State, certainly with the way that their defensive fronts are. But the game tonight may have a bunch of intrigue too, Doug, because everybody at Penn State thought if Kalen DeBoer lost the Auburn game that he'd be going to Happy Valley. That's not message board stuff. Like, that's people that I trust over there. A lot of people believe that. A lot of people at Michigan still believe that he's going to go to Michigan if he loses this game tonight. I have a hard time believing that a coach at Alabama would either stay or go based on the result of one game on a Friday in the middle of December, but maybe I'm wrong. What's your read on that?
Yeah, I mean, like, is it just, did we go through it with Ryan Day? Like, would it be, like, it's just so toxic and so hot. I don't know, right, that it's like one game, one Michigan loss, and it was like, oh my gosh, is this the end of the Ryan Day era last season, right? And then it clearly wasn't. But, like, if that's, I don't know what the reaction in Tuscaloosa would be, because he's not Saban. Nobody could be Saban. But, like, do Alabama fans look at this game and be like, my God, if we can't beat Oklahoma, what are we doing here? Like, they know they're a limited program, aren't they? They know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Well, I'm in Washington, D.C., and there's sirens going on all around me. I apologize.
Be careful.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't think he's the right fit there. I haven't liked it from the jump. Generally speaking, though, I think Kalen DeBoer makes more sense at Penn State or Michigan as a coach, and maybe personally too. Not to get this, I think he makes more sense in the North. So is this like an escape hatch for him? Is it much like as an excuse for him as it is them driving him out? I just think it was a weird match. I think it was the wrong match. So I don't, like, on one hand, you're saying like, yeah, well, you know, they know they're not that good. But really, are they both sides maybe just looking for a reason to get out of business together?
Yeah, it could be. Which matchup do you is more interesting to you for Ohio State, Miami or Texas A&M?
I mean, I think Miami, but I also think Miami is more difficult. Like the Miami history, it's going to be easy for all of us, right? Like, we're just going to do that.
Yep.
But I mean, as I like everything about Miami except their coach and quarterback, which is like a crazy thing to say.
Right.
But I like both lines, like, and I don't know, like, that matchup, right? Like, that both lines, the Ohio State's offensive line against Reuben Bain and those guys, and then, like, Miami's got some dudes up front. It's like, you know, they might be able to try to handle Caden Curry and Caden McDonald. Like, I think that's real. Do I think Mario Cristobal is going to game plan it better than Ryan Day? No. Do I trust Carson Beck, who threw four picks and the Louisville loss in a big game? No, I don't trust Carson Beck, but they have NFL players.
Yep.
So, like, there's a little bit of something there. Like, I think we'd have fun talking about it, but I, like, angry Miami who thought they were out and now they're zombies back from the dead with NFL talent is like, that could be, that's not a gimme, right? Whereas I think Ohio State would have an easier time with Texas A&M, but man, we'd have fun talking about and watching Ohio State and Miami play in a playoff game.
That's the right answer, but if it goes the other way, I am very interested in shutting up those Yell leaders at Texas A&M.
Oh,
like, those guys drive me all the way nuts. So
yeah,
that it's doing it down there, that'd be fun.
Yeah. Mike Elko seems like a dude, right? And he's like a Northern guy. It's like, Mike Elko. But it's like the rest of it. It's like, oh yeah, no, we get some Big Ten SEC Ohio State Yell leader. Like, we could have some fun with that.
We'll handle that, buddy. Good talking to you as always. Thanks for your time, pal.
All right, brother. Happy holidays, man.
You too. There he goes. Doug Lamorese, The Bill and Doug Show on YouTube. The Substack is Bill and Doug, osu.substack.com. Get you three things on a Friday. Coming up next, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
Winners of the prestigious Platinum Microphone Award every year, given to the best radio station in the world. No need to look it up. It's real. The Fan.
Are you looking to hire?
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB, nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
All your favorite and least favorite fan shows are available wherever you get your podcasts. Just type in 971TheFan to the search bar and hit that subscribe button. It's free.
We're the land of the free and the home of the sunburnt freckled fat guy.
Do it now.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB, nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Right Way Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
If you love a good pie analogy,
think of the cap as a pie. And once you take out one piece, there's less left for the next guy.
Then this is the radio show for you. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, Race, what do you have on the poll today?
So great minds here, because the Daily Fan poll is similar to a poll that we had put up about 2 hours ago. Which team do you hope the Buckeyes faced in their first playoff game? That'll be the Cotton Bowl quarterfinal on New Year's Eve. Miami, Texas A&M, either one are your options for the Daily Fan poll. 42% say Miami, 42% say either one, so they don't care. 15% say Texas A&M, and then we had posted something that asked the exact same question, just with two options, Ohio State, Miami, Ohio State, Texas A&M. 62% say Ohio State, Miami is the preferred quarterfinal option.
So this is a lesson in polling. You don't give the I don't care option.
Never do that.
If you give the I don't care option, you don't get a true poll. You have to force, just like I had Tim Hahn. I'm like, which one did you rather see? I don't. Did he ever give me an answer? Texas A&M or Miami? I tried pinning him down. I don't think he ever gave me an answer.
He's on with Matty Ice here in about 15 minutes, so maybe
right. The I think Ice, he did say
maybe
Miami,
the Ice Man can get him down.
At the end, did he finally say Miami?
I think
he'd rather
so.
See? Yeah, but when you only give two options, so then our the one that we did, the wording of that and just the two options gets you the real feel, which is most Buckeye fans would prefer to play Miami than A&M, just from the standpoint of the excitement of it. And I do think that goes back to the nostalgia. You played them in a national title, and there's still warm and fuzzy memories for that. So shutting up those yell leaders in their own backyard, would certainly have a beating Bama in the Sugar Bowl feel to it. Not the importance of it, but it would have that feel to it that I would enjoy that a great deal. Time for three things on a Friday. Hit it, guys.
One, two,
three things.
Sponsored by Scioto Downs. Your play, your perks, your Caesar's reward spot.
All right, number one for me. On this day 14 years ago, Peyton Bishop was born, as I call him now, NBC. In the early days, I was doing the show with AR. We called him the coach. AR called him Little Shumi, because when he was little, I got him a little Ferrari ride-on thing that he would buzz around in. As much as I sometimes complain about some of what happens with a very normal teenage boy, wonderful boy. Awesome kid, great brother, incredible son, immensely proud of him, and I just cannot believe that he's 14 years old. I just can't even wrap my head around it. Feels like I was a blink when he was born and all the things that came with it, but 14 years old. Happy birthday, buddy.
Does he get to double dip? I'll make that my first thing. Like, is he birthday this week, then Christmas next
Dude,
week?
Reese, it's worse than that. So his birthday is today. My mom, God rest her souls, was tomorrow. My dad's is the 21st. My Uncle Kel's is the 22nd. Then Christmas, the 25th. And then Bootsy's is the 31st. So Bootsy's New Year's Eve. So we've got 1,000 things in like a 2-week window here. So we work really hard to make sure that the birthday is special on its own, but candidly, it is difficult when it's 6 days from Christmas, and then Bootsy's on the other end of it. He's 6 days past Christmas, so it's tough. It is tough.
Is he a birthday cake, or?
He'll do cake. Yeah, well, we're going to an absurd, he picked a place to go to dinner, and
good job out of him.
Say, yeah,
the surf and turf.
Yeah, I'm just gonna sit there going A5 Wagyu. Really, you sure about that?
First thing for me, and it was a bad job of me yesterday to miss this. Yesterday, 27 years since one of my favorites passed in Chris Farley. I will still always remember where I was. We were in Myrtle Beach, actually, on a golf trip. I was just 17 years old, and we were in the hotel room when we were watching TV and heard that he had passed. And 17-year-old me was devastated, because I thought and still do that Chris Farley is maybe the funniest human to ever walk the face of this earth. And I can't believe it's been 27 years.
He's the Gale Sayers of of comedians, right? Where you have this window of brilliance, but you just don't, you don't have the longevity, unfortunately. But his catalog holds up as big as his SNL stuff is still undefeated. Like, no matter what age the kids are, I show them that stuff, they absolutely die. Number two for me, this gives you an idea about how today was the first day of winter break for the kids. And so I'm up as I normally am. Everybody else is asleep. I go downstairs at like 7:45. Bootsy's down there on an iPad, talking with one of his buddies, playing some game called Steal My Brain Rot. Truly, that's the name of this absurd game. I go, he's sitting there, and I go, hey, bud, did you let Buddy Garrity out, get him some breakfast? No. I said, he's sick. He's right there. Like, we crate train Buddy, so that's where he sleeps. He sleeps in his crate. That's where he's most comfortable. That's where he goes. So I'm like, did you feed him? Did you let him out? No. I said, pal, what do I got to do? Did he get you to like this dog as much as that screen? And then he's like, well, that's not true, Dad. That's not true. Day one, kids, of Christmas break. Day one.
Second thing from me, speaking of Myrtle Beach, Western Michigan is putting belt to ass to Kennesaw State. Oh. The Broncos are up 27-0. And the second quarter just began out in Conway. Western Michigan, the first play from scrimmage went 65 yards for a rushing touchdown. And then when Kennesaw State got the ball, Western Michigan had a fumble recovery returned for a touchdown. Yellow and brown's a tough color combination, but the retro uniforms that Western Michigan's wearing totally make it work. They've got like the 70s logo, Western Michigan, on the side of the helmet. It's kind of pretty because it's juxtaposed to that teal field that Coastal Carolina uses. It's not too great on the eyes, but Western Michigan makes it work.
Yeah, that helmet is nice.
Wyoming makes it work, too. I like Wyoming's as well. That works good.
That Western Michigan helmet today, man, that looks good. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but there is a young Georgia fan going around the internet that at a school, I don't know if it was Christmas concert or choir concert or what it is, refuses, and I believe he's wearing his Georgia shirt, Georgia
That's
polo.
Right.
He refuses to sing Rocky Top. So the whole school, the whole class is going to town singing good old Rocky Top. And he's just standing there with his arms folded, shaking his head like the Shannon Sharp gif. Nope, not doing this. God, I love sports.
And that's why, despite everything that the adults have done to ruin this sport, it is impenetrable from ruin. It just is, because of stuff like that. Finally, number three for me tonight. The original Grinch cartoon is perfect. Do you know how long it is? It's like 26 minutes. We watched it in halftime of the NFL game last night. Perfect. Great job. More brevity.
I think it was at half of the game last night. They had Marshawn Lynch on the desk. And if you're going to have Marshawn on the desk, you know there's going to be swearing.
Yes.
If you're going to have him on Amazon, don't bleep him out or don't have him. Like, part of his, and I get it, you're trying to do a family show, but
yeah,
Marshawn Lynch is a national treasure.
I like how we're worried about that, but not the 86 horror movies that we get previews to in the middle of the game. But we're worried about him dropping an S-bomb.
Just saw this. Garrett Wilson done for the year for the New York Jets. Don't go anywhere this afternoon. Rothman and Ice coming up next. Tim May is in with Maddie for AR. They're going to talk a lot of the college football playoff. They'll have ESPN's Trevor Maddich on at 1. They'll make their CFP picks at 1:30.
There you go. You have that to look forward to, which is nice. We're back on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bishop and friends right here on The Fan.
We are your radio home for the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. We may have a bit of a football problem.
Oh, yeah.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call